Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. Read us where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and scram a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that our quite unsingable. We're off to bed in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Ho, ho, ho! King Shaziz the Terrible! All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. In time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. And as well as if you scroll down there underneath the chat rooms in the Super Chat Room, you'll find a link for People for People Radio Network. Go over there and say hi to those folks, too. And so I think I wanted to start off with something, a little interesting subject that has to do with, governments and things that, I don't know, it's like common denominators for governments throughout the history of time. And even unrecorded time as far as we know. So basically, how would you know what they were up to back then or what they're up to now? How would you even know what's underneath your feet? Because you might be surprised to know that there's all kinds of stuff under the ground that we're not necessarily privy to, such as secret underground bunkers and not so secret underground bunkers. You know, a lot of them are end up being conspiracies and stuff like that. And, there's a couple videos that I was going to post, but I never got around to it, that talked about, like, what's really under Cheyenne Mountain. And they showed a little bit of stuff down there, what they will show you. But, man, that place is huge. It's, like, got several-story buildings down up underneath there. Their own water system, their own electrical system and everything else for, you know, just such an emergency. There might be a nuclear war or something like that, some sort of disaster where they got to keep continuity of government. But if you go back in time and you look at some of these things that archaeologists have found, it'd blow your doors off to find out there's one particular place, I can't even remember the name of it, but they said up to 20,000 people could live in that. See, our government is pretty impressive to some extent, pretty mysterious to a larger extent, and there was an actual town, I think they called it Oak Ridge or something like that. There were 75,000 people that lived in this town, none of which actually knew what it was that their job was actually entailing, but it had to do with the Manhattan Project building the atomic bomb and such. So these folks were in town, and they had little tiny jobs to do, and they never really knew what that job was until after the bomb got dropped on Hiroshima. So they found out after all this stuff that their real purpose was to keep this town secret while they worked on the doggone nuclear bomb, the atomic bomb. And the security was so tight in this thing that they didn't even have, they weren't even listed on the map. Nobody even knew that the town even existed. Even those who lived in other towns around them, you know, they would know there's something military going on there because of the security and all that kind of stuff. And from what the story says is they screened every single piece of mail coming and going out of that place to ensure that nobody was putting out any secrets or anything like that, any type of codes and stuff. But it's pretty amazing when you get down to think about how all this stuff comes about, how underneath the ground there are so many doggone hidden complexes that have to do with the government, and even some of the wealthy end up having doomsday bunkers and such like that. But what is it that has happened throughout history that made people actually feel like they had to go underground in order to survive as humanity or whatever? Like I said, the one, I can't remember how many years old they were talking about, but it was like pretty much ancient, and it was big enough for 20,000 people to go live in, if whatever was going on back then. So what was going on? How would you know? You wouldn't know. I mean, our history, we really don't even know what's the truth of our history and what isn't the truth of our history, minus whatever little nuggets of truth we can dig up and, you know, put two and two together and figure things out. There's a deal about mud floods. If you ever look that up, it's a really interesting subject. Not saying that that's what's going on, but they were talking about buildings that were in some sort of big mud flood, and they actually built the new building right on top of the old building after this great mud flood, where it basically mud came down the hill and just filled in the entire city. And instead of doing anything, they just built a replica building right over the top of that. And part of that so-called conspiracy was that they were actually taking children from one area over here and relocating them to another area over there to repopulate the world and such. It's mind-blowing. There's so many different stories out there like this that when you get to looking into it, you know, it kind of muddies up the water, so to speak, because how would you know? How would you know what the true history of anything is? But one of the things we do know is that we as the citizens are basically, you know, putting labor in and our finances. We're pitching our pennies in, so to speak, when we're paying our taxes and such to fund all these secret projects. And the crazy thing about all it is whenever they're going for continuity of government or, you know, protecting a constitutional democracy or republic or whatever they want to call it today, you're not invited to the party. That's kind of, you paid for the party, but you're not invited to the party. And so if anything was to occur, guess what? You're outside, they're inside. Hey, sorry about your luck. What? I mean, how unintelligent could a society of people be to pay for somebody else to rush up into a bunker. Number one, most of the folks that's going to make it up into those bunkers are the same corrupt individuals that you see getting by with all kinds of craziness. So it's not going to be the best of humanity that survives doomsday if it ever occurs. It's going to be all the knuckleheads, the deep state. So, you know, with that said, I just kind of thought maybe this would be a subject worth looking into, because there is a lot of mystery to be uncovered out here in just, well, I guess in every single country, but just America alone. How many bunkers do they got up under the ground? You might have a government facility right under your house and not even know it. They got these giant tunnel drilling machines that they say they're using to build giant sewage systems to drain water away from Washington D.C. But you know, I'm just not like really thinking there's that much sewage in Washington D.C. Well, there could be. I better not say that. That's rotten. But nonetheless, these things are huge, and they're building tunnels all over the place. So how many of them doggone tunnels are all over the United States? I bet there's a vast city beyond all imagination, stretching all the way from Florida all the way up to the border of Canada, probably up on into Canada too, and back down into Mexico. I bet that thing is huge, because some of these things that we're talking about, some of these bunkers that they say don't exist, but some people say they do exist. They were doing these 40 some odd years back, even way back before that. They were building bunkers underground for like World War I and World War II, and just never stopped. But guess who foots the bill? You think about that for a second. You're paying the bill. And the one complex that they were talking about said they had a budget of $45 million a year or something like that. That's a heck of a dang lot of money, man. Heck of a lot of money. $45 million, even if it was a year. That's a lot of money. So where's all that money come from? And while you're building it, you don't even know what it... And you talk about what you think you're doing down there, you're in the doghouse, big time. They'll throw you up in the slammer so far. They'll throw you so far into the jail, you'll be speaking Chinese if you're in the U.S. Oh, what a world we live in. Hi, Barbara, how you doing?
Well, hey there, everybody. I'm doing okay. I'm thinking about, how would we ever know what's going on beneath our feet? It's very fascinating, and it's a subject, that I guess over time and over years, various things have popped up on the conspiracy, networks about aliens underground and cities underground and secret, universes and underground and so on. I think of a time when I was in North Carolina visiting a friend, and I traveled down there from up here upstate, and I got there on a rainy night. She was renting a little cabin up there near in the mountain areas, and behind the cabin, which I didn't know until the morning, was this huge mountain, and she was beneath that, like in a little valley. So I came in and we had tea and some food and pretty tired out, so I went to bed. And so I was in the middle of the night, so I'm laying on my left side, and I turned over in the middle of the night to my right side, and immediately I got this jolt of energy in my solar plexus, like a real powerful energy, and I got a message come right through so strong that said there's a city hidden in this mountain, and I didn't even know what the heck that was. Why was I getting that? I didn't even know there was a mountain there. But anyway, I went back to sleep, and when I got up in the morning, in a conversation, just having, good morning stuff and whatever, I say, in the middle of the night, I had this funny thing happen. I told my friend. I said I was wakened up, turned over, and I got this jolt of energy, and I got this message that there's a hidden city in this mountain. And she said, oh, yeah, she said, people talk about that all the time, you know, that there's a hidden city somewhere in this mountain. And so, you know, thinking of that, it's like this supposedly a lot of the conspiracy theories are that there are ETs in the center of the Earth in Antarctica. Now, recently, there was a lot of hoo-ha going on about Antarctica. I guess we had military people up there. We had John Kerry running up there. We had all kinds of, you know, whatever, the bishop up there. What was he, the from Russia? Anyway, and supposedly they found a big city underneath the, you know, in that area. And of course people, you know, scoff at this stuff because, yeah, who would know? And you can't imagine that kind of thing. But there are cave entrances. There's underground bases. I popped this link into the chat, I believe, underground bases. And there's a list from a book called Entrances to Subterranean Tunnels, Underground Alien Bases. Basically, it's a list of all the known underground entrances to bases. And there's in New York City, Canada, and let me see, the Maltese Cave entrance, the Staffordshire, England entrance, the Dulce, New Mexico base. There's a whole list here. And you know, these little doorways or entranceways or portals, whatever you want to call them, people are looking at this. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on that we are not privy to, but some of these underground cities are so ancient, right? I mean, and you think about, well, what? Why were the people, you know, why were, well, we're thinking that they were people. Were they people, human people going under these cities?
Hard telling.
Were they,
Hard what? Telling, nothing would surprise me.
Well, we don't know, right? I mean, what was happening on the Earth in those ancient times? I mean, there's 25,000-year-old 25,000-year-old buildings found in Russia, for instance. But we have things going back thousands and thousands of years, and you just wonder, well, what was? Why were people going down, needing to go down?
Yeah, what was happening?
And
what's happening, and how did they build those when, according to what you're told in history class, is that those were like Stone Age and Bronze
Age. Stone-wielding grunters, I call them.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they didn't have language. They were primitive. They didn't, you know, right?
They had the knowledge of how to do structural integrity to the extent where they didn't bury themselves by accident, you know? You had to have knowledge.
These are extraordinary structures, actually, but they're saying it was human population. How do we know that? I'm just saying. I don't know. Supposedly this big thing about the Antarctica is that there's a lot of information on this, that, and I kind of ignored it. It came around in my awareness a couple of years ago, but now it just seems to be a big push about this alien.
Saw a documentary where they were actually building, like using shipping containers and tunnels and making a secret base down there when they weren't actually supposed to, because there was supposedly a treaty and they were all concerned about how, you know, one nation or whatever would get a hold of this and what type of resources were down there. But what was so important that they would have had to make it a treaty in order to keep everyone away? So you can't go down to the bottom of the world, according to a lot of people, because it's basically protected by a bunch of different militaries. So what's going on down there?
You know, I can't remember which admiral it was. Was it Perry?
Byrd.
Huh?
Admiral Byrd.
He found something in the Admiral Byrd Hollow Earth. The Admiral Byrd UFO encounter, Admiral Byrd diary. There's all this stuff about Admiral Byrd, who freaked out that he found something supposedly so shocking and stunning, and he wrote about it in his journal. And, of course, that's all been forgotten. But apparently there's the theory, I'm not going to say myth, because, you know, I believe myths are facts, in fact. But they're called myths to cover up the truth. That's what I feel. And it's very easy for the authorities to say, well, that's just a myth, or it's just a fairy tale, you know. But there's a great percentage of this information, you could call them the story of peoples that passed through oral history this knowledge, you know, but yet they're called myths by the authorities so that we don't take them seriously. And so what did he find, you know, and what's this whole thing about the reptilians or some alien entities underneath that are chained and meant to be released at a certain point to come up above the, you know, out of their tunnels, out of their ancient cities, or awakened. These are interesting things that we hear about all the time. I kind of didn't take it so seriously because I don't know why, but I just kind of ignored it because I guess there were so many other rabbit holes to go down. But I had recently, within this past year, did go into some investigation. It seems very plausible what they have found. They have photographs and everything, and apparently up there in that area, there were natural tunnels made, but this was before the ice formed. So we're talking very ancient, and these persons or entities or aliens were, I guess, stuck there or placed there until the prime time they're supposed to be released. And what for, I don't know, but you could imagine. Is that the red flag of the alien invasion? What is this? I have no idea.
I don't know, but even Admiral Byrd was talking about how there was vast resources down there and a continent as big as the United States down there of a land that's not even frozen.
Yeah, well, it's an inner earth. It's supposedly his hollow earth, you know. I mean, this was a reputable person, I guess you'd say in the system, Admiral Byrd's hollow earth story. This was in 1947. He undertook another flight. This is the North Pole we're talking about. And he recorded certain things, you know, and actually this is interesting. So the question is, proof of an inner earth or hollow earth. This is, so now we have hollow earth, flat earth. What is real here? Are there hidden cities? Is there beneath this earth, within this earth, another civilization, or once was another civilization?
Could very right? well be, and they could have actually found by accident, you know, with some melting ice or something like that, something that they just didn't want anybody to know about it, and that's the only reason why they would have kept that a secret. Well, probably not the only reason, because you know how the governments are. If they find something that might be cool or useful as far as military power or whatever, anytime they find anything that could give them the edge anyway over the people and the doggone other countries or whatever, yeah, they're going to hide that kind of stuff. They always try to say it's because we're going to panic. That's why they wouldn't tell us about a doomsday scenario like that. So if anything was going on, how would you know? You wouldn't know. You wouldn't find out until they was all up in the bunker and they say, oh, guess what? We're up in our bunker. Sorry about your luck. You know, and I'm like, what? Man, it's just...
Well, it's like we know that they have kept things from us. I mean, you know, the real history and our origins and so on, you know, that they've definitely kept from us because, they want the control. They want the controlling, you know, to be in control of everything, but they say so kindly and compassionately that we, the people, could not handle, you know, we'd all be, you know, jumping off cliffs, screaming, because if they told us the truth of things, you know. But
yeah.
Apparently, so, and even in Indian culture, there is the stories, and I'm not going to say myth, there's the stories of their times that they spent inside the earth. When there was a cataclysmic event above on the surface. And that's another thing. you know, this historically there are certain signs that say that even talk or show possibly, and I guess they're leaning more toward fact, of a nuclear event upon the surface of the earth in ancient times, right?
Yep.
And the Indian people talk about the times that they had to go into the center of the earth, you know?
Well, it's still mind-blowing, no matter what, for whatever purpose, that it's like something the government's been doing since way back in time, and, you know, even to the extent of things that you wouldn't, you know, that we're told is fairy tales or myths or stuff like that, there are maps from the 1500s that show, you know, this is way before the internet. Keep in mind, 1500s, they weren't even thinking about the internet back there as far as we know, but they drew pictures of half men, half horses, or whatever, you know, like the Minotaur, or, you know, things like that, that they actually drew pictures of these things back there. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe, just maybe, somewhere along in history, some of those doggone, what do you call them, the Titans that you hear in Greek mythology, maybe some of those were actually real.
Well, there's that word mythology again, and, you know, they talk about the gods, you know, the gods are myths and so on, but I think that, this is my perception of things, it's possible here, that I think that these so-called gods, you know, were ETs.
Could they be genetically altered, tampered with, half-human, half... beast or
well,
whatever?
That could be. I mean, supposedly it is said, and I'm not saying I believe this, that the dinosaurs were all an experiment by the ETs, and they decided, well, they made such a mess of things, let's just get rid of them, and you know, throw an asteroid onto the Earth and get rid of them. You know, and we'll start over.
I'm just trying to figure out what it is the government knows that we don't know, where they're always, you know...
you're trying to figure that out?
Yeah.
Well, they know a lot. They know a lot that we don't know, and we're not in that club.
Yep.
It's an interesting thing to me. So I'm reading this. I just wanted to say this before we go into this, what I'm reading right now. There's... Admiral Byrd's Hollow Earth story. This is fascinating because, okay, he his diary, he took another, this is 1947. Now, this, he was a decorated military man and a public figure, so it seems unlikely that he would lie about something that he experienced on an expedition, but quite likely he would want to keep it a secret, but you don't know that. You know, just saying, there are few explorers who would be considered more reliable than him.
Yep.
So if he did keep such a diary, it probably happened. But he flew into the Earth and encountered the inhabitants who lived there. And he landed his craft and spoke with a representative of the city of called Argatha, referred to as Ariana in some accounts, who reprimanded him for humanity's recent invention of the atomic bomb and warned that a dark age is to come if humans don't shape up. Byrd was sent on his way then with instructions to bring this message back to the surface people. That's us.
You know, there's in history we're told that the caveman lived in caves, so it's not the first time anybody's ever went underground according to what history we are told. But 20,000 people underground? That's pretty doggone impressive. That's just,
well, again,
that's just one side.
Say, why were they underground? What was up on top? Why would you want to go underground?
Yeah, what was going on?
You know, there is the knowledge of this little people race that lived underground, and this is a Cherokee and other Indian people talk about the redhead race of these little people who lived under the ground.
Listening to all this kind of stuff, because of the indoctrination, the person would just automatically go right straight to mythology and conspiracy theories, but in reality, a lot of the things that you hear about, you find out years later that, you know, like they do documentaries on giants. Did giants exist, you know, and they find these big giant skeletons, and you see all these pictures.
Yeah.
Could every single one of those pictures out there be Photoshopped? I don't think so.
Well, giants have been found really all over the world, not just here in the States, but in specifically during the mid-19th century, there were a lot of excavations going on, of course, because things were, you know, moving along and in the exploration area, and they found these giant skeletons. Well, you know, the whole thing about the giants is, again, it goes back to all ancient cultures speak of the giant. Even in the Bible, it talks about David and Goliath. So there was a race of giants. And then you have in the Indian people here on Turtle Island, they talk about the race of giants.
I say maybe the Titans at one point in history were actually real. For example, this is crazy. Look this up sometime about some statues that have been found, but they never could find out who the original artist was, the sculptor of these statues. But these statues, when you look at them, are so incredibly precise to the body that, you know, they look like somebody was literally just casting, some sort of resin or whatever, and then they poured concrete or whatever inside there. But there's a myth about Medusa that if you looked at her, she was so hideous that she'd turn you to stone.
Right. Well, they're anatomically correct, are you saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. But it's whoever was the sculptor, if these were statues, were so incredibly talented, I mean, and meticulous that everything was anatomically correct and, you know, precise. Everything.
Right. Well, you have to question, and this is factual, you can look this up, about the Smithsonian coming in, to investigate these so-called skeletons and that were unearthed in the 1800s, here at least, in this part of the world. And they confiscated all these skeletons, you know, because they were the authorities, so they had the right to do that. And then, there's documents on this, and there's certain names that were noted in this people from the Smithsonian that came in this one particular incident, for instance, and they took these skeletons, and then people who started investigating this more recently went to the Smithsonian, wrote to the Smithsonian from, because of the lead newspaper articles that talked about these giant skeletons, photographed, and the Smithsonian, and the name of the one in the Smithsonian who came and confiscated them. Now, was it that? Okay, so here's the thing. The Smithsonian knows nothing about this. They have no idea about these giant skeletons. They didn't even say, well, this person never worked here. Well, so that might be, okay, maybe that was the government that came in, like they did with the Roswell. You know, when that ship came down, when that UFO came down, you know, the newspapers, it was all over the newspapers. The farmer talked about what happened, what he saw. It was a legitimate, ship, a UFO. And then suddenly the government came in, of course, the authorities came in, confiscated whatever was there, and then they put out a new headline that, oh, it wasn't a UFO at all. It was some, weather balloon. And they had some aluminum foil or some strings in the photograph with one of the Admiral standing there and said, nope, this is a weather balloon. It's not a UFO. So then you wonder, okay, about the skeleton. So supposedly, I'm going to use the word supposedly, someone who claimed they were from the Smithsonian came and confiscated these skeletons, and they just disappeared. They just disappeared, folks. So, but then you have the people themselves, like indigenous people, all over the world, who talk about not only the giants, but the little people. In every ancient culture, the little people are known, and about the little people. So I'm just saying, so they want to hide things from us, and you have to ask why. So, like with the evidence that Admiral Byrd, his accounts about the inner earth, he basically said it was pretty spiffy place, populated by enlightened beings who could surely teach us a thing or two. But why is that hidden? Why has this been everything across the board? The hidden cities, the ancient civilizations, their abilities, their tech, the level of technology that these people had. Now, we're talking ancient. Göbekli Tepe, for instance, goes back, I don't know, over 10,000, 15,000 years. Then you have the pyramids, you know, that they only say they're about, what, 4,000, I don't know, 6,000. And now there are people who are studying these who say, no, that goes back at least 10,000 years. A civilization that had such technologies that they're just ignoring this.
Well, they say, a lot of people say, well, how could the government hide something so big? But I'm posting a link in the chat room about how the U.S. government created a secret city in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, I think is where Oak Ridge was at, to build the atomic bomb, and that was 75 years ago. They hit an entire city, and there were supposed to be like 75,000 people that lived in this doggone thing. None of which actually knew. Only a very few handful in that city actually knew what its true purpose was, but this entire city wasn't even on the map. So people living in neighboring cities had no idea that it even existed, except for the ones who went there to work. That's crazy.
Well,
think about that. If you can hide an entire city, what else can you hide?
Well, let me just read something here. Like, for instance, in Mount Shasta, there are tunnels beneath Mount Shasta that lead to a UFO base there, as well as tunnels that connect with a vast worldwide tunnel network. The Lemurian city, Talos, is said to exist beneath Mount Shasta, and William Hamilton has done much research on Mount Shasta and these tunnels. He has privately published a book entitled Alien Magic, 249 North Brand Boulevard, you know, whatever, I guess that's where you can find that book. Then you have the Brown Mountain entrance is in North Carolina near Morgantown. It's about 15 minutes miles north of an actual highway marker, which has been posted by the state, providing any visitor the best view of Brown Mountain. And Brown Mountain is an area in which many strange lights have been seen, and there are entrances that lead inside the mountain to an isolated alien base. Then you have Canada UFO bases underneath. The entrance at Lake Ontario is a possible underwater UFO base. Cities, Toronto tunnels leading to subterranean cities, Newfoundland condemned iron mine connects with tunnels, Lake Ontario lights, you have these strange lights, orange colored spheres have been seen coming out of Lake Ontario itself. Yeah, so then there's Toronto entrances, there's Newfoundland entrances, Brazil. So all these places, Death Valley, everywhere you have in the world, you know, again, England, New Mexico, let me see, there's Toronto, Newfoundland, Brazil. So you have all these entranceways, underground bases and tunnels. And so what's going on? What had been going on? That's the question. Why are these ancient cities and tunnels underneath? And are there civilizations inside this earth?
Wouldn't surprise me in the least, man. I mean, if you just think about just a little fraction of places that we've actually mentioned so far today, that's pretty doggone incredible. And we even scratched the surface of what's really going on underneath. Because if you go to Kansas City, Missouri, they got a huge, privately owned underground complex. It's like a city underneath a city where they use for storage and, places to preserve, like, old videos of films and stuff like that from Hollywood. And you can drive tractor trailers down there, and they go on for miles all the way up underneath there.
Well, that's an area, I think, from Area 51 is supposed to be that, too. Underground tunnels where you can drive from one part of the country to the other. I do want to say that in all these places, now, even Columbus, when he first arrived in this particular area, in his diaries, he and his shipmates there saw this strange sphere, this strange light come up out of the ocean. and just hover. Okay, that was in his diary. And over time, there have been people who talk about these supposed ships coming out of the ocean or going into the ocean. So, okay, if they're going into the ocean, well, what's down there beneath the ocean then? That's got to be something going on. Why are these ships coming in and out of the ocean? And this has been, I guess these kinds of things have been reported way back in the 1800s, in the 19th century, and even further back.
The bigger question is if it does exist, and I would, like I said, wouldn't doubt it one least bit, but if it does exist and they are down there, why would the governments of the world not want you to know about it? That's a big question. What purpose do they got? I mean, for not telling you that this is down there. I mean, a lot of these things like the Cheyenne Mountain and stuff like that, you know, we know that there's these underground military complexes and stuff like that, but those aren't even a fraction of all the different, if you want to call them conspiracy theories about, like, under Denver Airport and Washington, D.C., and you know, all the different hidden bunkers, just in the military realm. But you go into the civilian realm, there's a lot of millionaires that's got underground bunkers, too. So, are they privy to something or not? You know, why is everybody moving underground?
Well, Stephen, hi Stephen, says The Smoky God by Willis George Emerson, 1856, which claims to be the biography of a Norwegian sailor named Olaf Jansen. The book explains how Jansen's sloop sailed through an entrance to the Earth's interior at the North Pole. And that was in 1856. I never heard of that. Thank you, Stephen. That's fascinating.
Well, we know there's a lot of natural caves, and we know that they say that cavemen lived in caves, and so, like I said, it ain't the first time somebody's ever went underground in order to survive or anything like that.
Yeah, but how can a sloop, a boat, you know, sail through an entrance to the Earth's interior?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, so, but then we have the 1940s, Admiral Byrd saying the same thing, like he flew into this underground city where there were beings of intelligence there.
Here's another good question, is because, you know, if it was hollow down there and there's these huge caverns or whatever, where do these volcanoes come from? We're told that the center of the Earth is so hostile that we couldn't live down there because it's, you know, molten steel, but what if it really isn't? What were those volcanoes for then? Is that like some sort of smelting operation where they're, you know, using that to get materials out of the ground? We looking at them like they're natural, but they're really not?
Well, your question, you keep questioning, why won't they tell us these things? You know, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of reasons why they don't tell us things, why they want to keep us in the dark and they want to keep us dumbed down you know, not having critical thinking, certainly, because they have their plan. And so you have to think about, okay, we talk about these things, and it seems to be that this is once was, you know, conspiracy wackadoodle theories about ETs, but now we see, well, the Pope is waiting for the ETs to come, so, well, is he a conspiracy wackadoodle too?
I don't know, he said something about baptizing them.
He wants to baptize. Well, he wants first dibs on baptizing
them. How can you baptize something that don't exist?
Well, so then you have Q responding to an Anon who says, "Are we alone?" You know, meaning, are there ETs? And he and Q responded, "No, we are not." And then you have the Space Force. The new Space Force thing, but it's not just the new Space Force thing, it's just a new name, because you have it during Reagan's time. Okay, they were going to have this whole, you know, space protective...
Star Wars plan.
Yeah.
Then
you have Star Wars itself, you know, telling us certain things like they do, the hidden hand, you know, information. They give us information about what's really going on, but people say, oh, it's a great movie, you have to go see it. Speaking of that, I'm reading this book. It just happened to come into my hands from a secondhand bookshop. is called Wildfire. And so apparently, and the author of this book says, he wrote this book from information that came off the internet. He said it was going around on the internet, and so he said he wrote the book from that information. Apparently, now he's saying he doesn't know if it's true or not, but if it is, somebody needs to do something about this. Well, who's going to be that somebody? I always say that. Yeah, who is going to stop the madness? Because that's where we are today. So apparently, there's the group of people, and they're leaning, let's say, to the right, very right people. So I guess you'd call them Republicans. I don't know. I guess I have to think of that. But they have this secret club, and there was this agreement with the governments, United States governments and Russia and China and various other governments, that determined, because everybody's playing with nuclear weapons, so they all determined that there would be something that they created called Wildfire, that if one of those countries sends a nuke to the U.S., to any city in the U.S., that automatically that would set off a response of hundreds of nukes going towards that country who just nuked the U.S. Man. Now, this would be set in place automatically. It could not be stopped. No president who said, well, maybe we better not do this, or maybe we better think twice, or who actually sent that nuke, we're not sure, and stop this or prevent this. There's no way to do that. This was the way it was set up. So now this group, this hidden group of people who had it in their heads, that, and this is about Islam, okay? This is in the book. It's not my idea. In the book, these are people who are very concerned about the takeover of Islam, of the world. So they, of course, this was after 9/11. Okay, this was after 9/11 when they all believed that it was, you know, the terrorists from those bin Laden and so on that did this. Now they want revenge. And they want to eliminate and wipe out all Islamic cities, wherever they are, strongholds of Islam. So their idea is to take a nuke and bomb a city, two cities here in the U.S. They're going to send the bomb so that they will activate, so that the government will activate this wildfire system. And therefore, these nuclear bombs will be sent to all Islam cities in the Middle East.
That sounds a little bit like that Jericho where Korea...
Doesn't it sound like Jericho?
Yeah, where Korea was supposedly the ones that did it, but it turned out to be an inside job.
It was an inside job, and so we've seen that Jericho, and now I'm reading this book, and it's pretty insane, but there are insane people, for sure. And it's not so far-fetched, and that's what this author was saying. He says, I can't verify that it's true. He said, but this was going around the internet, and of course, he didn't say it was a conspiracy theory, but it was going around the internet, and that's what he took the information from and started to and wrote this book. And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, wow, this is so timely, you know?
Yeah, it's... pretty ironic, some of the movies that you know, show like what Jericho was going on, that what was actually going on in news, where they were talking about North Korea being a nuclear threat.
And so, well, and that's the thing, yeah, the thing with North Korea, so you have this, everything I look at nowadays, you know, and I guess I've gotten this from this past 2 years here. Already it's been nearly 2 years, you know, that Trump has been elected and Q came on the scene. And I've been looking at, I've always looked at things in the news and the information that we receive with a, you know, sort of like from a different perspective. I've looked at it from my intuitive information, from the sensory perception, the intuitive knowledge that I have. In other words, I don't take everything as fact. I sense things, I feel things, you know, and I have known that there have been, you know, I've known for I don't even know how long that there has been a hidden government. Well, they're calling that hidden government the deep state now. But I have known of the existence of that. So everything I see that is in your mainstream media or put out there by politicians or whatever, I take it with a grain of salt, you know, and I do my investigation because I think half the stuff they're showing us, telling us, talking to us about is a big fat lie. And it's a manipulation. It's, you know, it's a systematic manipulation, psychological war, you want to call it. So when I see these things, you know, like when, you know, this information coming out about Iran, for instance, about Syria, for instance, about North Korea, for instance. Now I'm realizing all these places and even other places in Europe are pretty much run by and manipulated by the deep state.
Yeah.
You see? And so what's going on when they put something out like apparently Trump removed troops from Syria, pulled them out to fulfill the promise that he said, we're not going to go to war anymore. He said, we've been in war long enough. Wars that we shouldn't be involved in. And apparently what's going on over there in Syria with Turkey now, I don't trust any of the news coming out of there. I don't trust the fact that they're saying, you know, that Turkey is bombing Syria now and killing civilians and so on. It's about they're taking out ISIS. Well, ISIS supposedly has returned now. I don't trust any of what they're saying. Well, I don't believe any of it.
If you listen to the left on the news media, they're always trying to demonize Russia as an enemy and trying to get us to go to fighting with Russia.
Well, so, that's part, yeah, that was part, supposedly part of the deep state's plan, even today, is to do that.
So, basically, they're building all these doggone bunkers and underground cities, and it's for supposedly continuity of government. So the next big question I got is all the American people just in completely in the dark, or are they just not that bright where you're, you know, you as an individual couldn't afford to build a big size bunker that would sustain you like these bunkers do, you know, like thousands of people. But, you know, as a society, all of your combined pennies are paying for this entire, you know, secret operation that is supposedly to protect, you know, a constitutional type of government after, you know, a worst case scenario incident, but you're not invited to the party. That's the whole entire stink of the thing.
Well, look, we've been paying with our lives.
Yeah.
With all the wars that they've created, the unnecessary wars. I mean, if you do the research even about the World War II, you know, the Vietnam War, all these things, we've been paying through the nose, not only with money, but with our lives. This is a big business. So it's a very big business. So now we have everybody jockeying for position to rule the earth. We have the One World Order, you know, coming into place. We have the Pope involved with Soros. The Pope is deeply involved with Soros, who is like, I don't know, he's like the most, I guess, you, I don't know, the, is he one of the evil ones? I guess he is, but I'm saying, so the Pope is in bed with Soros. The Pope and Soros are involved in the United Nations. The United Nations is the one that set up the Agenda 2130, this complete world control. You know, and this is what we're looking at. We're looking at these crazy people who are in positions of, you know, running the world. These people are in the club. We're not in the club.
They might feel like they could actually survive a nuclear holocaust, so to speak, which basically would wipe out all the above ground people and then be able to come back out and, you know, have their perfect world. But heck, what kind of people would be in charge of the world after that? You know, it's usually the dirtbags.
Well, they supposedly, they talk about in this book about the nuclear event and how that will affect things, but then eventually it will all go back to being, you know, livable in certain areas. Yeah, I mean, it's insane. There's no, this is not this is not sane thinking. They're not sane. They're crazy. They're mad, insane people who are gonna create this whatever nuclear event. And then they believe they'll be all right. Their people, them,
there's
will be
two,
fine.
There's two things that make me believe that Galen Windsor is correct about the real true nature of nuclear power and even the atomic bomb for that thing. And one is Hiroshima and one is Nagasaki. And they said that there would be hundreds, if not thousands, of years before you could go into a place that had been, you know, had the atomic bomb because all the radiation and stuff like that. There's a thriving, there's thousands of people in both of those places to this very day. How many years ago were those bombs dropped?
Well, but you have residual cancers. You have things going on there. You can't say that it's all fine now.
But there's still people that actually survived the doggone thing.
Well, they survived it for a certain period of time, but there were studies of illnesses that these people died from.
Well, how do these people who are planning on going underground in case of an atomic war, how do they plan on being able to survive when they come out?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. They're insane. I mean, if you're insane, you can figure anything out that is going to work for you.
I mean, if you're spraying chemtrails and stuff like that in the air, supposedly for climate change or whatever, I think it's a different motive other than that, but nonetheless, if you're spraying this in the air, and you got a family yourself, why would you want to do that? For what reason would that
make... I'm going to give you an answer, because, okay, the chemtrails piece for me, the key for me was why, who would do this and why. So it came to the link that I found was the GMOs, the genetically modified food. So apparently the only seeds that will grow in an area that has been chemtrailed to such the max that organic will not grow is genetically modified seeds. And this was done, this was found out in this video, what on earth are they spraying? And I talked about that, how these people who have organic farms, for instance, on Hawaii, the island of Hawaii, basically for over 15 or 20 years had an organic farm, and they started to notice when the chemtrails were being sprayed in that area. Now, they've been being sprayed for longer than we realized, actually, but they started to notice the differences in their crops. Now, if you're an organic farm, you must have periodically, yearly, you have, studies done of your your foods and your seeds and everything that come from that land, and to prove that you are organic. So they started to notice a shift in their crops and the growth, and basically they pretty much identified after 15 years of being sprayed that they can no longer grow organic food, that the seeds that will grow there, though, are GMO. So that was a key for me. That was an aha moment. Think about it. Because my question was, okay, why are they spraying and who will benefit from this? So now it's not just Monsanto / Bayer now. It's the hidden government or the deep state who are benefiting from the GMO, genetically modified seeds. They're planting, these seeds are all over the place. You have all different types. It's not just corn, it's not just rice, it's not just wheat. Genetically modified seeds are being, inundated throughout the whole world. Why? Well, because they don't want organic and they don't want health, But so here's the key. Now, we're thinking humans. We're thinking these people are human beings. Well, I call them insane wackadoodles, but they are not human beings, supposedly. Apparently, this has come out recently, and this will stretch your mind, all right, or not. And I'm saying this because this came from a source from the Pentagon, okay, that they are not humans, that these so-called people that we see in high places or in the deep state or government or this arena are not human. So they don't care whether they're eating genetically modified foods. As a matter of fact, that's probably good for them. It's not good for us, but it's good for them.
Listen, I don't trust Wikipedia. Never have, because of the way that they operate. But there's a if you look up ethnic bioweapons, there's actually been talk of ways that you could actually design a, you know, like a disease, a designer disease that actually could kill only a specific race or a type of people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, so you think, well, that's crazy. That's a conspiracy. But the more I see, the more I read, the more I research, I'm looking at these things, and they're pretty out there, they're pretty outlandish, and yeah, we have to stretch our minds, you know, in this area, or not, you don't have to, but, you know, I mean, it's pretty crazy stuff going on. So we look at this, everything here, from the perspective of we believe these people are humans that are doing this to us. You know, but the question is, are they humans? How long have there been, you know, the knowledge and wisdom that extraterrestrials have been here, you know, on this planet? Well, and then there are good, bad, and ugly in all areas. There's good people, there's ugly people, and there's bad people.
Ethnic bioweapons could actually extend to somebody from a different world, because there's things that wouldn't kill us that could kill them. You see what I'm saying?
Well, supposedly that's this whole thing about the chemtrails.
Yeah, so
the chemtrails are supposed to be now the good trails. And this is a far reach for me. I mean, so here's the theory. Again, it's a theory, or we were told it's not a theory. This is a fact. That now the good guys have taken over the chemtrail situation and made them into healing trails, okay, that will not harm us but will affect these entities, these demonic entities that are running the world. Do you believe that?
I have no idea what to believe anymore.
Well, there you go.
And that's, I think that was the ultimate goal. Keep you guessing, keep you fighting each other, you know, distracting, all this kind
well,
of stuff.
Well, it feels like we're living in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
And if you look at that statement, we are living a sci-fi movie, then you also look at the sci-fi movies that we go to theater to watch, and they're saying the same thing that we're talking about.
Yeah, the doggone movies are talking about this kind of stuff. And, you know, like, just the very first part of this article said genetic weapons. In 1997, U.S. Secretary of Defense William Cohen referred to the concept of ethnic bioweapons as a possible risk. That's in 1997. Now, you know there's people out there that test all kinds of different stuff for all kinds of different purposes, weaponizing diseases, you know, like you know, the doggone chemical weapons and biological weapons that they supposedly banned during wartime. But guess who those things are going to be used on?
Well, you have Agent Orange that was used in basically in the war. I think that's a byproduct as fluoride.
Yeah, well, you know, crazy as it all sounds, I was making some pot of coffee this morning, and kind of had my nose down there close because, you know, I didn't have much light on, and I was trying to see where the little level was, you know, for 12 cups there, and as I'm pouring the water out of the deal, I could smell a really strong odor of chlorine. It smelled like a swimming pool.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, I don't know why anybody would put chlorine into drinking water outside of, you know, killing off any kind of...
Well, in your swimming
germs. Yeah. But it just blows my doors off, because I actually asked the water company years ago whether or not they use chlorine and fluoride in their water treatment, and they said no. But there's a strong odor of that. And after, you know, years of drinking that, what's that doing to your body?
Well, so that is one of the byproducts. Well, I don't know if it's a byproduct. It's chlorine and fluoride, and I don't know what else they put in the drinking water. Municipal drinking water has chlorine in it. I mean, this is, I don't know when this started, but after World War II, it was when fluoride was introduced and into the municipal water systems. And I'm assuming that chlorine was one of them as well. Now, I've been in people's houses, and I lived in an apartment years ago where you turn that water on, Lloyd, the chlorine would make your eyes water. so you just wonder, well, because the water, what they've done to the ground, you know, basically, and the water aquifers and so on are so polluted with who knows what, and so they have to clean it up somehow. So they, well, chlorine will do it, and well, let's add fluoride because it'll take care of your teeth. You don't have to go to the dentist
anymore. Check this out. It says chlorine, cancer, and heart disease. The long-term effects of chlorinated drinking water have just been... just recently being recognized, according to the U.S. Council of Environmental Quality, cancer risk among people drinking chlorinated water is 93% higher than those whose water does not contain chlorine.
Well, yeah.
Man. So, are they intentionally trying to
wash it? Well, chlorine... Okay, so water chlorination is the process of adding chlorine or... chlorine compounds such as sodium hypochlorite to water. It's used to kill certain bacteria and other microbes in tap water, as chlorine is highly toxic.
Oh my God. And I am drinking coffee with chlorine in it.
And in particular, chlorination is used to prevent the spread of waterborne diseases such as cholera, dysentery, and typhoid. But it will kill you anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, so the question is, here's the, why is chlorine added to tap water? It may destroy harmful bacteria, but it could cause other health problems. And this is the idiocy, the craziness, the madness, okay? It's a highly efficient disinfectant and is added to public water supplies to kill disease-causing bacteria that the water or its transport pipes might contain. Now, chlorine has been hailed as the savior against cholera. Have we had cholera in the United States within the past 100 years?
Not that I'm aware of, but...
Or even prior to that, I don't know, and various other waterborne diseases. So, its disinfectant qualities have allowed communities and whole cities to grow and prosper by providing disease-free tap water to homes and industry. Okay, but all this disinfecting has not come without a price. There you go. Chlorine introduced in the water supply reacts with other naturally occurring elements to form toxins called THMs, trihalomethanes, which eventually make their way into our bodies. Ooh, did you imagine that? THMs, they've been linked to a wide range of human health maladies, ranging from asthma, eczema, bladder cancer, heart disease.
Christopher Maresh in the Skype chat, he said they put all the chemicals in water to keep human brains from developing past a certain point, easier to control stupid people. Yeah, well, I don't doubt that in any least a bit, because there have been incidences where they use certain chemicals, in prisons to keep people docile. And Look at the Ritalin, Prozac, Luvox conspiracy. How they're, basically medicating all the kids. If kid's ornery, he's got ADHD or whatever, and so he's got to have this to calm him down. So they're medicating the planet, so to speak. Does that sound insane or what?
Well, pretty much it's insane. So you have. From 1996 through 2001, and this is only up to 2001, more than 16 million Americans consumed dangerous amounts of contaminated tap water. So, there are alternatives, by the way, to chlorine.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, now that I've had this conversation, I'm going to go out and see what the best filtration system that I can buy for my home to put in there.
Well, there's, waterfilterrankings.com. I'm going to just pass that to you, because you can check out all the different water filters.
Yeah.
But the point is that we have to go to this extreme, to seek down a water filter and pay for it, because we're being poisoned, you know, with chlorine and fluoride.
You would think that the same people handling those chemicals would have, somebody at some point would have read the label on those that says toxic or hazardous, you know, don't ingest or something like that. Like the doggone toothpaste. The same toothpaste you give your kids, it's got a warning label on there. In case accidentally ingested, call poison control. What? And you're putting that in your kid's mouth? Seriously?
Well, there's fluoride in toothpaste for kids. Yeah. You know, that's a big thing, because if you tell parents, well, you know, your kids are going to have all their teeth pulled by the time they're 10, you better use fluoride. Well, now, studies were done. There's something called modeling.
Advanced fluoridosis is from too much fluoride.
Yeah. Well, it's in Europe, in England, I think it was in England, I'm trying to remember, I don't know, that they actually started to ban fluoride in the water because they did studies, brilliant, they did studies from the time fluoride was introduced into their municipal water systems up to, I think this was, I'm going to say maybe around 2012, I think, this study came out, and they finalized the study, and they realized that what they found was that since fluoride was introduced into their municipal water system, a rise in cancers, bone cancers specifically, and liver cancers accelerated, and children's teeth were being affected by the enamel being eaten off, and what was called mottling, M-O-T-T-L-I-N-G, which discolors the teeth, makes them yellow, puts yellow spots on them. So this place, I think it was in somewhere in Europe, they banned fluoride.
How do you spell fluoride?
F-L-O-U-R-I-D-E, I think.
I'm trying to find.
If you Google it, it will correct you.
I'm trying to find the actual name of the disease that's caused by
F-L-O-U-R-I-D-E. What countries have banned fluoride? Oh, let's take a look at that. There's a list of countries that ban or reject water fluoridation. So you have to, you have to think about why are they banning this? You know?
Fluoride.
And why North America is actually the exception. Why? Is that where we live?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Fluoride is found naturally in soil, water, and foods. It is also produced synthetically for use in drinking water, toothpaste, mouthwashes, and various chemicals. I'm trying to find...
But you just said synthetically.
Yeah.
You see, there's the key.
There's a disease that you can get from too much. It's fluorosis is what it's called. Exposure to high concentrates of fluoride during childhood when teeth are developing can result in mild dental fluorosis. There will be tiny white streaks and or specks in the enamel of the tooth. This does not affect the health of the teeth. Yeah, right. So,
well, that's a lie. That's not true.
Yeah.
So you have to question the introduction of fluoride to begin with. Now, guess what? So because of this alarm and realization about fluoride, now people are, guess what they're doing? They're investing in water filtration systems. I'm wondering if the people who put out the fluoride or whomever they are have stock in water filtration.
Yeah, they might also have stock in your teeth as well.
Well, China is one of the countries that has banned fluoride.
Man.
Actually, but you know?
Well,
Austria, Belgium, Finland, Germany, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, the Netherlands, and Hungary. Japan. Yeah.
All of this stuff combined together just makes you say, wow. I mean, like, you know, they put that stuff in drinking water. In some places they put fluoride and chlorine in there. What's those two chemicals together do? You know?
Just the word chemical. You just have to say they're putting chemicals in your food. They're putting chemicals in the air. They're putting chemicals in the water. They're putting chemicals in your clothes. They're making... You know, so just that alone, just the word chemical, okay, it should not exist.
Well, that guy... Doggone, I got to look his name back up again.
So apparently, fluoride has been linked to cancer risk and also lower IQ in children, according to a recent Harvard study. Now, with all this information, these studies from Harvard alone comes out, lower IQ in children with the fluoride and cancer risks.
Well, what?
And nothing's being done about it. Fine. It's normal.
What Christopher said makes a heck of a lot of sense. You know, putting chemicals in the water to keep human brains from developing past a certain point.
That's
basically,
right.
Basically to keep us stupid, keep us under control, you know. So what is it they know that they're trying to hide that they don't want us thinking for ourselves? I mean, they want us smart enough to...
They're trying to hide everything from us, my
yeah.
dear.
They just don't
want us thinking for ourselves because they want to be able to do what they want to do without us questioning. Don't question authority. Haven't you learned that already from the time you're in school?
Yeah, but they want us smart enough to work for them and to fight
for
them.
Well, you don't have to be smart to be a slave.
No,
don't tell me I'm politically incorrect here just saying that.
There's a lot of jobs you could train a monkey to do, you know, and so is that what they look at us like, monkeys or cattle or...
Well, sheeple.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, you can disinfect water with ozone instead of chlorine.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what that is. I'm just saying, because here's ozone, the good and bad of ozone. So there you go there. I mean, these are things, yeah, so they're saying you can purify your water with ozone instead of chlorine. But now I come to this link that says the good and bad of ozone.
You should be able to do it with highly oxygenated water as well. Because diseases can't live in a highly oxygenated environment. They can live in an acidic environment, but they can't live in a highly oxygenated environment.
Well, that's why, okay, Red says there's no fluoride in Northern Ireland. Well, that's why you guys are so smart.
Yep.
But you know something? What about frequency?
That's it. Northern Ireland's taking over the world.
Listen. The frequency. We're talking about frequency because water in its natural state has a high frequency. Okay? It's got a balanced, harmonious frequency. It's a different frequency than polluted water, than water that has been chemicalized and so on. Corrupted. It's a different frequency. And there are people who we have one, and our water system is a frequency-oriented system that actually purifies and harmonizes the water to its natural frequency. This is what, for instance, the water ceremonies that our people do change the frequency, the molecular structure that has been corrupted back to its natural structure. That's, yeah, the real nature way. That's true. Now, Stephen says you can also use ultraviolet light. Yes, we have ultraviolet light plus a frequency activator in our system, in our water system. And so the words that we use, because Emoto did these studies, scientifically did the studies to show and prove that words have a frequency that affect water. So you can say hateful words towards the water and it will corrupt the water. He's taken, amazing scientific studies and proven this. you can say positive words like, I'm so, I love you, or I'm so grateful, thank you. Those are positive words, and they change polluted water, corrupted water, back to its natural state. Those are words. Our words are powerful. That's why we pray over our food. We give thanks and gratitude, because who knows what happened if you buy food from the supermarket. You don't know how that food, what happened to that animal, for instance. You know, the trauma of that animal is embedded in its cells, in its system. Just saying. Are you there? Did you pop out on me somewhere? Oh yeah, he did. Okay, so I'm gonna go continue on to talk about this, because what we're talking about here is nature. Everything is nature. The water, everything. Creator made everything to be in harmony and balance, and it has a structural frequency within it. It has a frequency, an energy. So when you pollute water, for instance, with chemicals, chlorine, fluoride, and even the way it's handled, water flows naturally in nature. It goes in the flow the way nature needs it to go. When you contain that water and you force it through a system, for instance, that is structural, that is not natural, that affects the molecular structure, the nature of the water. And so, you know, we all know that we are made up of a certain percentage of water. And so if you speak unkindly to a child, for instance, like, you know, calling that child stupid or abusing that child, that affects the molecular structure of the system. We're made up of over 70-some percent of water. So words are powerful. And, you know, yeah, so we have to, I guess, be careful about how we're speaking, not only out in nature, but to each other, because we are connected and we are affecting everything, either positively or negatively. So you have to ask, okay, yes, they put fluoride into the water. It's I think they used it in the Nazi camps, I guess, to make people docile. Did you hear anything on that?
No, but I'm reading a deal that says, according to a survey in 2013, around 65% of Americans believe that we only use 10% of our brain. Where did that come from? But this is just a myth. According to an interview with a neurologist, Barry Gordon, in Scientific America, he explains that majority of the brain is almost always active. So who told us that we only use a small percentage of our brain? And why would they want to twist that around later to say that, yeah, we use all of it?
Well, that's a very important thing you just said, because, you know, we're indoctrinated to believe these things.
Yeah.
And then we act accordingly. So if we're told we're only using a certain amount of our brain capacity, well, people believe that, then that's how you function.
Well, they call it now the 10% of the brain myth. Well, you know, I'm thinking, even with, you know, some of these chemicals that they put in there, and even to the extent of when you go back to talk about lead, lead is, you know, a known brain inhibitor that, you know, can basically dumb you down. There's other chemicals that basically do the same thing. You know, they'll block the little, you know, electrical signals from one portion of your brain to the next. You know, and so, to some extent, you don't use all of your brain if you've been exposed to any of these doggone, you know, metals or heavy metals or chemicals or whatever. Why would they want to do that, you know? Just basically dumb you down. Why look at the
education system. Well, here, it's about fluoride, for instance. We're just talking about fluoride right now. This is just subject here is affects consciousness and the will to act.
Well,
how it, and I just popped this information in. I'll give it to you, because this is important. We see across the board pretty much in a lot of things that they are introducing that are not natural, not normal, not for our health and well-being, you know.
Let's say hypothetically that was, you know, true about the 10%. of your brain, and that would get you to thinking, well, what would we be capable of if we actually were able to use our entire capacity of our brain? Maybe at one point in history we were a heck of a lot smarter than we are now, and it was intentionally brought down, you know, like during the Industrial Age. But then you go look at things like the pyramids from all different cultures. Those folks had to have been pretty doggone smart to build what they built. You know, they didn't just throw it together with a bunch of crude tools and stuff like that. So there might be some hidden history in there. At one point in time, there might have been societies that were so incredibly advanced, and for whatever reason, they destroyed themselves. And then whoever's in charge now basically wants to ensure that we never find out where we actually came from or what our actual purpose or true capabilities are. Does that make any sense?
Well, I think that I think what we're talking about is the reality of factions, others who are really working diligently to affect us, body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah.
And so that alone, for many people, is a big stretch. You know, I mean, I had someone say to me when I spoke about the fluoride in the toothpaste that they had for their children. I said, you know, you should get another toothpaste. Do you know about fluoride? I mean, I just said what fluoride is, a byproduct, you know, of World War II, and it affects your health and so on. And I was told outright, face to face, by this person, oh, our government would not allow that.
Yeah, right.
And so there you go. Yeah.
Look, one thing is a coincidence. All right, one thing could be passed off as a coincidence, but we're talking a whole bunch of things just don't jive. You know, secret underground cities, secret testing subways with, like flus or whatever, different types of scenarios that's played out throughout the entire deal, where they've actually run tests on entire populations to see how these things would go or spread or whatever. And then even the mere suggestion of an ethnic bioweapon that could actually go wipe out an entire race because of their genetic deal, all of that takes some thinking. You know, all that being able to genetically pick out a gene that would only be in a certain person. But since we live in such a diverse world now, there's going to be a whole lot of people more than a certain race that's going to get took out if they ever do that, because we are mixed of all kinds of different ones. You see what I mean?
Yeah, so I'm just looking at this, how fluoride suppresses consciousness, and I didn't really know this, but this is a very important article to read. I did pop it in. It's thewakingtimes.com. How fluoride suppresses consciousness. And so we're talking, fluoride basically is sodium fluoride. What it does is it calcifies the pineal gland.
Dang
is right.
Huh.
I'm saying.
Yeah, see,
so
that once again, it all goes back to the big why question. What would be the motive for people to do any of this kind of stuff if it wasn't for mere control over a population? I mean, think about it. Why do they want us to have a medical card? I think Patty popped in a link in one of the Skype chats about they want you to have a doggone medical card that has all your medical history, and it's related to your family medical history as well. Why? What would the government need that kind of information? Now, I could understand if you as an individual wanted to, you know, find out your chances of this or that or whatever, but what does the government have to do with your entire history of your family's medical, the things that you've said, things that you like, if you smoke or you drink or whatever? What do they care about your personal chemistry for? You see what I mean?
I think they're gauging their effects that they are having upon us.
Yeah,
they
want
to know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, but they want to know the effects. It's like, okay, create the problem. They're creating a problem. They want to know the reaction, and then they're going to give us the solution.
Yeah. this kind of like the whole disease thing out there, or the terrorist thing, jeez.
Well, I'm just going to say one more thing on this, because the pineal gland, and we should do a research on the pineal gland, because this is a very significant thing, basically, spiritually. Spiritually, the pineal gland is a connection between the body and the soul, and it's referred to some as our third eye. Our third eye is our consciousness, our conscious awareness. The development that we should be, basically moving toward is about our sensory, the original gifts of our sensory abilities, our psychic abilities, the third eye. It's a spiritual link. So that's part of what they're trying to really eliminate. They're really working to dumb us down in all these areas. Yes, this, come on down. Oh, and Barry's here too. Woohoo, there we go. Everybody's joining in.
Well, that's
so
good.
I think this is a very important article here. I hope you all read it. So maybe it will give you an answer about, well, what's going on? Why are you feeling so lethargic? Not only that, but it's why your libido has dropped. Why the libido of, people in various, areas has dropped. Because it's about sexual development. So we're talking about what's going on with the sexual development of our children these days, aren't we?
Yeah.
So we have, this affects, the fluoride affects your sexual development. Not only, your spiritual aspect, but your sexual development. So, just thought I'd pop that in.
Well,
hi, everybody.
There are definitely disturbing trends in that category. but, like I said, you put one thing on the table, it could be passed off as, a coincidence, or maybe, a mistake or something like that. But when you put all this stuff combined together, secret underground cities, different chemistry in water, different tests that governments behind the scenes are doing. And it's not just governments, too. It's companies and corporations. One of the ways that they have figured out how to make millions of dollars is by tracking you on the internet, things that you like, and then turn around and, market them to you. So they got one heck of a marketing ploy with the same exact tools they can use to catalog and profile the individual out there. And this is starting to get into where it's starting to sound just like George Orwell's 1984, or what's that other Brave New World one you talk about all the time as well. It's like all the different types of IDs that they're trying to give us and stuff like that, so that we're basically, look, I've had a driver's license for so many years, I can't even remember how long. Since I was 16, I just turned 54 today. So, with that said, I went to get my driver's license renewed. I had to take copies of proof of who I was in order to get it renewed, including a copy of my birth certificate, military records, DD-214, that kind of stuff, just to prove who I was. I'm like, dude, I've been carrying this around all these years. You ought to know who I am by now, for Pete's sake. But they want to put all this information under, your number, so to speak, so that everything that you do, anytime you get in trouble, interactions with law enforcement, medical history, whatever, and then even the doggone insurance companies are now going by your credit in order to see how much to charge you. Like, if you got bum credit, you're going to be paying a higher insurance premium. What does insurance have to do with your credit? You see what I mean? And it goes even farther than that, because the Chinese already got this doggone, what they call a credit score or something like that. What the heck is that called? Somebody was just talking to me about it the other day. Your social credit or something like that. You, if you're a jerk in public, your credit goes down or something like that,
Right.
It's insane. And we the people keep on keep on buying and working for this system constantly. Constantly, we keep on. We paid for those bunkers, and when the party starts, we're not invited. You know, that's the creepy thing about the whole thing. You pay for it so that you can ensure continuity of government, and whenever all heck breaks loose, yep, sorry about your luck. You know, good luck on the outside while they're peeking out of the bunker at you and stuff. That ought to bother people. That ought to get people a little riled up, man. I'm going to try to go ahead and add Patty and Barry in here. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea. I need to step out for a bit.
All right. Well, either way, you know, this is an intriguing conversation that goes for all different directions of how would you even know? Because there's so much. There's so much on the table. How would you even know what was the truth or what ain't the truth when they got the capability of changing history, faking events, or, you know, doing the things that they do? If they can hide an entire town of 75,000 people in Tennessee, how?
Well, and that's just one, and that's just...
Look at what?
I mean, that's just one hidden city.
And a city that could have potentially been thousands of years old that could hold 20,000 people? And what is it they don't want us to know? That's the big question. What is it they are afraid of the people knowing? I think, it's like what that grasshopper said, you know, that we outnumber them, you know, 100 to 1 in our case, because, you know, there's a lot of humans on the world.
Yeah.
We outnumber them probably thousands, if not hundreds of thousands to one.
Well, what we see happening is, they don't want any critical thinking. They're dumbing us down, okay? They're sickening us. You know, why would they bother to do that if we didn't have any power, if we were powerless?
That's what I'm thinking.
If we weren't significant, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Why even bother? What's so important about you and I?
Exactly. Why are they doing this to the masses of humanity? What's the purpose? We're insignificant. We have no power. We're just, you know, a bunch of whatevers. We don't know nothing, right? But yet they're making this huge effort to affect our health, our well-being, and our spiritual well-being.
Yeah.
You have to look at that.
And we're taught to feel inferior to the man, to the system, to the authorities. We're taught to be inferior. We're taught to be subservient. Which in reality... If the roles were reversed and the people actually had the power, they wouldn't be getting by with the things that they get by with.
Well, the people do have the power.
But they don't take it. That's the problem.
Well, they don't know it.
Yeah. Well,
they
probably
don't know they have
that
the
probably
power,
explains
but
the chemistry in the air and the water and the food is to keep you dumb.
Well, the people themselves, we the people, I'm going to say, don't know the power that is there already. It's them, others, the authorities, who know we have a power if we ever wake up, and so they're doing their best to keep us asleep.
Yep.
Sheep dumbed down and affected spiritually, physically, and emotionally. They're doing a good job of it, I see. I don't know.
You know, and the crazy thing is that we're actually paying them to do so.
Yes, and we're just falling right into line and being a little... The sheeple people, you know, but not here on People for People. Yay! People for People. Yeah.
Thanks for the happy birthday there, Red. Appreciate that.
Yes, today's Chaz's birthday.
Yeah, I'm an old dude today.
Oh, he's such a young pup.
Oh, man. Don't feel young.
Happy, happy, happy birthday.
Woohoo!
Hey, sis.
I got my party hat on.
Woo-hoo.
Anyway,
where's the Beatles song when you need it?
I don't know. We need one. But
the happy birthday song.
The doggonest thing about this whole thing, we started off talking about underground bunkers and hidden cities and stuff like that, and you know how you could hide an entire city of 75,000 people just to build, you know, an atomic bomb. That's pretty impressive. It's not even on the map, but if they could do that, and we've known there's other secret places that they've actually done, what else could they hide? You know, there's a conspiracy out there, and I don't care whether people believe in it or not, it still kind of makes you wonder about the world, the shape the world is, you know, whether it's flat, round, hollow, and all that kind of stuff. It still kind of makes you wonder whether or not, how would you ever know if you couldn't get in a spaceship and fly up there into space and look around to see what it really, you know, looks like up there? How would you ever even know what shape the world was in if you could never get far enough away from it to see it? And how would you even know what was actually... You could have a bunker under your house, aliens living on your doggone a couple hundred feet underground underneath your house. Wouldn't even have no idea. Because you've been told all your entire life certain things, and basically indoctrinated to believe or not to believe certain things. And we have key terminology that is used against us in order to get you to look at others as if they were stupid because they're talking about the possibility that something might be different than what we were taught. Like, you know, telling everybody the earth is flat or whatever, you know. When you hear people laugh, they start laughing at you. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, we've seen this globe sitting at school every day we went to school for how many years? So, yeah, to us, that's the truth. But we don't even know for sure that that's even the reality. And it could be something completely opposite, you know. Maybe the mathematics... You know, don't add up because of something else.
The thing that we do know for sure is that they've lied to us about everything.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, how do you trust if somebody lies to you constantly and repetitive? Somebody lies to you that much, and over the history of time, they have such a terrible track record of getting us into wars and conflicts, and then only later to find out that there were information that could have avoided it, or it was a lie to begin with. How do you trust somebody like that to be your leaders? And how do you trust a mainstream media who actually supported it way back before TV cameras? They used newspapers for propaganda and to lie to people in order to get things done. You know, it's like what they did to the indigenous people. They told everybody that these were demon heathens and we got to go in there, these savages, we got to take this land or whatever. That wasn't the people doing that. That was whoever was in charge propagandizing everybody and telling them that these are bad people that we got to do something to. And look at all the terrible atrocities that people actually agreed with and went and did the dirty deed for the system, the man. You see what I'm saying? I know that sounds crazy, but history points it out. It's right there in your face. We're not the ones that want to go to war with each other. We'd rather sit down and have a barbecue or play some cards or something like that, you know? We're not wanting to fight with each other. We're family. But doggone it, I don't understand why as many people as on this world is why we allow so much terrible stuff to be done to each other. And then to top it all off, we're out there in the streets doing it to each other as well. And we're just supporting the same doggone beast that's killing us, literally. I mean, it's okay to put chlorine and fluoride in our water. It's okay to have vaccines with the potential to give you the disease that you're trying to avert. You know, it's okay. We got the Food and Drug Administration to protect us. We got the Environmental Protection Agency to protect us. We got the government to protect us. We got the doctors and the nurses to protect us. So what? You're going to lose a little bit of hair, but they sell wigs down at the Piggly Wiggly. So just, you know, hey, go get you a wig. You can have any choice you want. A fro, dreadlocks, don't matter. You'll be better after you're better, you know, that kind of stuff. And those who actually survived that torture of chemotherapy are then sold medicines that are so incredibly expensive that if they can't afford it, it's a miracle. If they can't afford it, the government will pay for it but charge other people for it. This system is so, I hate to say it, it's upside down. It's booty backwards. So I'm trying not to use bad words, honestly, folks. But it's incredibly frustrating. It makes my mind feel like it's on fire when I think about all the dirty deeds that went into building this infrastructure for the man. The banking industry, the food industry, the medical industry, the fuel industry, and the doggone military industrial complex as a whole, and our supposed elected representatives from around the world. So if by this point you've heard all this kind of stuff and you think I'm nuts and you probably have not been paying attention to anything, and this government's getting by with what they're doing to the people, and for whatever their justification, the ends justify the means kind of thing, for whatever their final outcome is to be, you're not part of the party. Really, you're not the one that's going to go in the bunker. They're not going to take me in the bunker. I guarantee you that after all the things that I've said, and I'm telling everybody I'm not anti-government, I'm not even trying to talk about overthrowing the government. I'm talking about anti-corruption. I'm talking about the difference between right and wrong and the scales of justice being balanced out to where everyone on this world can actually have a fresh drink of water if they so choose to do so. But there's companies, corporations, and governments that allow their doggone people to live in squalor, you know, in nasty water. Companies and corporations that pollute the environment and they get by with it. They're going to charge you a carbon tax while making it so that the doggone companies can actually sell and buy extra pollution rights. Does that make any sense? I'm serious, folks. Those folks out there that think that they're environmentalists and they want to try to save the planet, you sit back and look at the big picture. If you can't figure it out by that, then I guess you deserve to be out there in the doggone streets with a protest sign begging your government, please, government, don't beat me no more. You know, I'm just sick of it. You folks got to wake up, man. You got to wake up because this is beyond nuts. You're paying for huge cities under the ground. And even the ones you didn't pay for, nobody ever told you about a city that could potentially be 20,000 years old and fit 20,000 people inside of it. What was going on back then that they knew about that they had to go underground to hide from? What's going on now that the government has to get underground? I think maybe the government part of the problem is that they might figure out that grasshopper was telling people in the movie Bug's Life, that one of these days when we wake up, they're in the doghouse. When we find out the truth of what's going on out there, they might not fare so well. And that's unfortunate, because I'm not one to preach violence or anything like that, but after all the times that our men and women had stood up in battle and sacrificed their lives for wars that should not have even occurred and could have been avoided, and for the times that they experimented on people, even the mere fact that there's a term called ethnic bioweapon ought to be a red flag to somebody. But it's almost as if we're oblivious. We are the zombie apocalypse. We are the walking zombies, and I think that's what they're afraid of. I think they're afraid of us. Why? What is it that is so powerful about us that they have to fear enough to go underground? Think about it. Y'all got any thoughts on that? It's mind-blowing. It's beyond mind-blowing. Right now, you know, you can't even call it a conspiracy. It's too much. What do you think, Patty?
Yeah, it is beyond to think this is one of those episodes of Twilight Zone. This is not real. It can't be, because even in your wildest dreams, you know, it's hard to believe that we're living in this, and this is actually reality. Sometimes, you know, it's so obscene, so over the top, and it keeps getting that way. Yeah. It keeps getting that way, but there is pushback. That's the thing. You know, sometimes I look at what's going on, and like you were talking about earlier, there's no way, Shaziz, that we know the truth. We can look and see how many lies they've told us. We can look and we can tell that we don't know what they've told us is truth. We know it's not truth, but we don't know what the truth is, because we can't get behind the lies and dig down deep enough, because they're not going to let us. It's like the globe or the flat earth. I mean, you got people on both sides that are convinced that they've got it right.
And
you can't boo-hoo either side. You can't say, well, I'm right and you're wrong, because you can't prove you're right and you can't prove they're wrong.
That's just it.
We can't prove anything.
That's just it. I can hear myself echoing. That's cool. I sound like I'm screaming down a sewer pipe. But look, even when it comes to my spiritual beliefs, I don't know the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I'm gonna keep my faith, because, you know, I gotta be like Barry says all the time. He says, if I didn't have that, I would just literally go insane, and I would too. So I'm sure he would. I'm sure all of us would if we didn't have some sort of spiritual grounding. And I think that that's one of the things that they do want to take away from us as well, is that deal that gives us peace. Because as long as we can't find peace in our lives, we're going to self-medicate. We're going to go to the doctor to get drugs. We're going to go to the liquor store or whatever. You know, we're going to try to find something that makes this life a little bit more comfortable than what it is. When in reality, if we really seriously knew the truth of who and what we really are, and we actually stood up against that same system that has spent, you know, countless numbers of, who knows, even potentially even millenniums lying to us, propagandizing us, experimenting on us, treating us like cannon fodder or whatever that guy said in that deal. You know, that's it. They use us for target practice. They get us using each other for target practice, poison us, lie to us, manipulate us, sell us things. Heck, if you keep us sick, then you can sell a lot of drugs, man. If you keep us depressed, you can sell a lot of dope. And you can even make the dope illegal to jack the price up, just like you do with oil, crude oil out of the ground, something natural. You say it was made with dinosaurs, and so that means there weren't that many dinosaurs to go around, so we're going to run out of something that nature does all the time. And so the lies continue in every single doggone direction. And if that doesn't blow your doors off, man, you ain't been listening. Hi, Barry. How's it going, man?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Barry.
We're having a very interesting discussion.
I've just been listening for a little bit here and got my first cup of starter fluid in me. Got my second one just about ready to go here. Just waking up. Yeah, it's been an interesting conversation. I only caught the last 15 minutes of it. But,
well, we started off talking about huge underground cities and bunkers that, you know, were at one point in time conspiratorial. And then the factual ones that you could definitely prove, such as Oak Ridge, Tennessee, was a city that was 75,000 population that was actually hidden, wasn't even on the map, and 75,000 people worked there, but not very many of them knew what their actual jobs entailed, but that's where they did the atomic bomb that they dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They didn't find out until after the bomb dropped what their actual job was.
Right. You know, I firmly believe that there's a massive system that's built under the United States of America. A lot of money's been filtered out of the American economy that they have no explanation as to where it's gone. We remember when Jade Helm was going down there a couple years ago, all these pictures and videos of trains full of military equipment being moved across the country.
Yeah.
Well, where did that military equipment go?
Good question.
Well, a scenario, guys, a very logical scenario would be that they'd want to compound all that material underground and have it sitting there for a particular moment in time when the word go was given. I kind of looked into that, and I talked to some people down in the States about this. You know, we've seen like massive train loads of vehicles with UN markings on us, and none of them can be found now. Where are they stockpiling them? So if they do have these underground bunkers, which I believe they do, it'd be a perfect situation to be able to stockpile this material and bring it out at the appropriate time.
Yep. How's that?
Well, the one thing we do know, the one thing we can look at and we can see how they're manipulating, especially here in the U.S., and I'm sure in the U.K. and everything, of course, but speaking from what I know here, me and Barb have been looking into the California situation for quite some time, and the laws that are being passed, the restrictions being put on the people, the cost of housing being so sky high that the middle class is now homeless, the largest massing of homeless people, and then the recent incidents with that they've had with they shut off the electricity, the whole, you know, part of the northern part of California to prevent these forest fires that they expected to happen, and then all of a sudden Southern California is up in flames, and at the same time that these fires started, there were satellite pictures that people have seen, and they're on YouTube. You can see them where there are actual explosions that can be seen in the exact areas where these fires started. 5 different explosions, all simultaneous, in different areas in Southern California, that created these massive fires. But it was a setup, because all of a sudden they told people that they had to evacuate, but they closed all the freeways. They told the people to go to the websites to get information on what to do, but the websites were down. They told people that they had to shut the electricity off down there because a trash truck started the fire by dumping. This is a trash truck that dumped a part of its trash that was on fire on the grass and started one of the main fires in the Saddle Ridge area. Now, why would a trash truck take a load of burning trash in its truck and dump it on this? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
But here's something else that is just sprung up. They've got a bill now that they're going to introduce. The governor doesn't know whether he's going to sign it or not. But the bill is to discontinue, take down the repeaters for the ham radios in California.
Oh, that's a...
So there will be... Yeah, the ham radios are the last line of defense. In fact, they have been used for forever since they have been in existence, in conjunction with the government to keep communications open in the event of disasters.
Yep.
Yes, you know, and now they're telling people that, oh, you're not going to have that. They're going to take the repeaters down, which means that these ham operators will only be able to do within a couple miles of each other.
Yep.
So this is something that should have people really alert, because there's no reason to do this. None whatsoever. In fact, every reason to keep them when you look at California and what's happening there, you know?
California. Unbelievable. Well,
so something's going on. And Trump just kicked out China. Where was it, sis? At one of the ports there. China had control.
San Francisco.
Yeah, Obama gave him control of the ports during the Obama... or China control of the ports during the Obama administration, and Trump just took it away.
Dang.
What's up with that? Why did China have control of a port that belongs to the United States.
Why does China own the wheat board in Canada? Why did the government sell our wheat board to China? Why did the government sell multiple industries now in Canada to the Chinese? What's going on there? And these fires that were started in California, well, the people that are starting those fires, folks, are the same people that will tell you that two planes took down three buildings in New York on 9/11. Same people, different story, different situation.
The same type of structures that they swore were built to withstand such an event.
Well, I mean, we don't want to get into 9/11, Shaziz, because I'll go for an hour on that, because I've studied it for probably 200 or 300 hours of my life now.
But the whole thing is, that's not just one.
It blows me away that people actually still believe. There's people out there that still believe the government narrative.
The fires,
but we're not here that today.
The fires that Patty was talking about, I've seen videos where they showed people were showing trees that were burning from the inside out. How do you do that?
Only thing that makes that happen is the lightning bolt. You get a tree that's struck by lightning, and it'll burn from. I do, because I've watched that happen.
But there were actually buildings and greenery around in areas that weren't even affected. It was almost like it was like targeted, you know.
And there were no storms. There was no lightning. That Paradise fire, where that tree, they found the trees that were burning from the inside out. Those trees, that whole thing was supposedly started by a campfire or something. You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't started by storms.
The only thing that logically would superheat the inside of a tree would have to be some form of a directed energy weapon.
Yeah.
And that technology exists. We absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt that they have that kind of technology. We also look at the advancements in lasers. Well, lasers now, they're doing incredible things with lasers, but then take that technology 15 years down the road, and what would you have? And these are the tools they have in their toolbox, guys.
Well, civilians have access to lasers that'll go up to 50 to 100 miles. That's a doggone powerful little handheld laser. So if you got that, only imagine what they've got.
They launched satellites 2 years ago with lasers that were supposed to be there to safeguard against nuclear missiles. These lasers are up there on satellites, supposedly.
They were already
in place.
Yep, they've got them on U.S. jet fighters now that they claim can shoot down an intercontinental ballistic missile. So
yeah, I forget the name that they call these lasers. It's a acronym name. I'll have to look it up. Yeah.
Well, either way, how would you know what the heck is going on? There is so much. There's so much we throwed on the table, and it's. At one point in time, you know, a few years back, it was all conspiracy theory, you know, and that's it. Even to this day, they can still fall back on that terminology in order to make it sound like a nutcase, tinfoil hat, wearing. You listen to them all the time. Get on YouTube and look up any one of the things we've been talking about, and there will be both sides of the story. For the most part, it's more side of the debunking story than it is of the actual story itself. One thing, or maybe, you know, coincidence or something like that, but you put all these things on the table and you step back and look at the big picture, somebody got a plan. Plain and simple. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. I'm not stupid as I look. Let's just say that.
Well, pretty crazy stuff going on this week, guys. Look what's going on over in Syria right now. Almost at the stage of war. And one little pinprick right now could set it all off.
I don't even know what's going on out there anymore. I can't keep up with the wars. I can't keep up with the storms and the flooding and all the craziness going on. There's so much going on, it's off the scale.
It is, but you know what? Most of the public aren't aware of it, so I think it's kind of like part of our responsibility to bring these things forward to people because it's not being exposed on mainstream.
Nope.
I mean, there's reports I read this year. I was talking to Lonnie Clark this week for about 15, 20 minutes. I'm going to get Lonnie on in about 3 weeks, but she filled me on some of the stuff going on in the States as far as nuclear. And none of this is hitting the mainstream media. There's a complete quash on anything that's negative about the nuclear industry in the United States of America. They're keeping this information back from the public that the public needs to know, but they're just not exposing it to either the powers to be. And that alone, something she told me this week, man, I was going, what? Well, like I said, you never hear this on mainstream, but there's some pretty crazy stuff going on with some situations in the States and a few of the plants. That the scrams they're getting right now, they're getting major scrams every day at some of these reactors. So, but like I said, you never hear about that on the news.
No, you don't hear about a whole lot of stuff, and that's why the big question comes about. How would you know anything? Because the track record of the media stinks, the track record of the government stinks, the track record of the corporations and the companies and the drug industry and the doggone environmental protection agency and the military industrial complex. And the craziest thing about all this is there's a lot of average Joes that are on that side of the fence working in government deals, and it's always like, you know, I was just doing my job. I had to support my family. Really? You supported your family by destroying how many other families? You know what I'm saying?
And you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah. That's it. Dang, man, how many millions of billions of dollars do you think it takes to put an army together to go over to a place like Syria and get involved? That's just one place. How many places are we at here in the U.S.? How many places are we at? And there's Canadian over there. There's people from Britain and different countries all over there.
In the biggest lie in history was 2011 or 9/11, and we're still in Afghanistan. We went over there. The U.S. went in there, you know, 3 weeks after 9/11 happened. And that was 18 years ago, and they're still there.
There were stories about our military protecting their poppy fields. Hold on, I thought we was anti-drug, right?
Well, if you believe the reports that I've read, like, you know, some of them you got to make sure that you're reading true information. But you know, I've read reports that state that the opium production in Afghanistan multiplied by tenfold after the United States got involved. And then we know there's multiple stories about the Clinton cartel and how they're involved with drug trafficking and all the information I read over the years. And then, of course, now we got the CIA and they're apparently protecting the opium fields. Well, nothing would surprise me. Nothing this government does would surprise me.
Well, you know, you got stories about gun running having to do with governments. You got stories that are related to it where actual people died in events such as Benghazi and all these other crazy things going on. You got people that are supposedly involved in selling uranium to, you know, what, on one hand, they're talking about the Russians are the enemy, but on the other hand, behind the scenes, they're selling them uranium that could be refined into, you know, atomic bombs, nuclear bombs. These folks...
Nothing to see here at all, man. Nothing to see.
No!
What a joke. Well, there's some crazy stuff going on right now in the States. You know that, and I know that. So this is I think in the next 6-8 months here, you're going to see absolute insanity out of the Demofarts. Unbelievable, some of the things I see going on right now, and boy, I'll tell you, it's going to come to a head.
Oh yeah.
I think you're going.
Do you know what I saw from Canada that really was awesome? Is that, you know, how they have been shutting out the alternative media? They went to court, and RBN, and I forget the other one.
True North is the name of the medias. They had to get a court for an emergency junction on a Monday morning to be allowed to participate in the national debates, an open forum. The Liberal government sent them a notice on Friday afternoon saying, your company, your media outlets are not accredited, you are involved with other stuff, we're not going to allow you in the debates. I mean, can you say fascism, guys?
Yeah.
And then
you
want to hear another story, Patty. Ezra Levant, who is the founder of the Rebel News Media, which happens to be the fastest growing media in Canada right now, was going to have a book signing event at a theater in Edmonton. Well, the owner of the theater received multiple threats of death and violence if he allowed this book signing event to go on. The owner canceled the event. Ezra Levant has got the names. These people were stupid enough to use their own names in these threats. So yesterday, Rebel News filed civil proceedings against 18 individuals involved in interfering with a public book signing event at a theater in Edmonton, Alberta. That's how far these people have gone, but they made a big mistake by using their own names. This is going to absolutely blow the top off what these people are doing, and they're going to expose who's behind them. These were all NDP thugs that threatened this theater owner simply for having a book signing event. And then the NDP candidate for Alberta, one of the NDP candidates, openly called for an open ban on this book. We're not living in Germany, are we? 1936? This is unbelievable that a candidate would call for an open banning of a book in Canada. We're not in Venezuela, but we're close.
They're just taking the mask off now.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
But I was happy to see what happened to these politicians when these alternative news media started asking the real questions. Did you see Trudeau? He kept saying the same. It's like he had a cue card, and he did not deviate a single word every time. He said the same exact thing, which was had nothing to do with the question. And the journalist says, "Okay, that sounded really good, but you haven't answered the question. The question is," and he repeated it to him. And Trudeau said the same exact thing again.
Exactly.
The other guy says, "I'm not answering your questions. I'm not answering your questions."
Yeah, a leader of the party, the NDP, won't answer a question in a public forum put forward to him by an accredited media organization in Canada. What does that say to you, folks?
It tells you that look at your so-called freaking government. They're not your government. It showed them for who they are, at least, you know?
This is really going... The debates absolutely swayed. I'm telling you, Patty. Trending on all the debates. All the trending numbers came up. All the algorithms came up. And it all was pointing towards Maxime Bernier and the PPC. Because what you had in these debates was four leftist globalist organizations. The NDPs, the Greens, the Liberals and the Conservatives are all globalists to the core. And then you had Maxime Bernier, and you had these two leaders, Scheer and Trudeau. This show should have been on that show. What's it called? This Hour Has 22 Minutes, you know, one of the biggest comedy shows in Canada. Because it was absolutely hilarious to watch these two guys standing in a sandbox, throwing sand at each other, making absolutely no sense, just rhetoric, rhetoric, rhetoric. And then you had one individual up there who was making sense, conducted himself in a very professional manner, never threw any sand at anybody during the conversations, and Canadians saw that, man. And the rhythms were all number one. He was trending number one in all the debates. So we're seeing something happen in Canada right now, guys. It's going to take the world by storm, because it's happening right now from coast to coast. I see it in the social medias. The energy that I feel when I start talking to these candidates is just absolutely contagious. The meetings, the general meetings, the debates. You want to hear something funny, guys? Every debate that I've watched, I won't talk any more about this. I'll only say one last thing. But I've watched five or six of the PPC candidates in local debate debating members of the other parties. And if you watch these debates, the PPC candidates absolutely blow these guys right out of the box in every one that I've walked. They're not supposed to applaud candidates when they give answers. That's one of the things they say. But every time the PPC candidate would give an answer, the applause was immense in the room. But the other people were giving answers, and you'd hear one or two in the back row. It was incredible to watch. I'm not genius as it is. There's a storm coming in Canada. It's brewing. People up here are pissed. Excuse my language.
Well, I believe it. I don't doubt it one bit.
It's bad, man. I see it now coast to coast because they're really starting to get what's going on in our government.
I think that here in the United States, it's a whole lot of people that have bought so deeply into the propaganda, they're willing to do just about anything to try to, you know, get Trump impeached or whatever, but they don't seem to realize, you know, if they force that, man, that's going to destroy any type of election from that point on. Because, you know, whatever you...
Well, there hasn't been an election before.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about it's basically going to crash the illusion of your choice. If you're a
right.
candidate that so many people came together, a lot of people like what Trump says. You know, they like him because he seems like an average Joe. I mean, he hasn't said anything any worse than most of the doggone presidents prior to him. You know, the ones that survived anyway. And as far as his work record or ethics so far, I didn't see anything that he's done wrong. And I have been watching the mainstream media demonize him since day one. And I watched the other candidates, and we've all talked about and looked about into the other side of the deal, and we've all seen the lies and propaganda, everything from, you know, gun control to doggone First Amendment speech and, climate change and all this craziness that's going on. And there's a whole lot of the population who bought into the propaganda so deeply that they actually were willing to get out there in the streets and just start all kinds of havoc. Maybe they really think that they want some sort of socialist or Marxist or communist government. Maybe that's what they actually believe is a good thing. But in reality, I think that if they get what it is that they think they want, I don't think they're going to be as happy as they think they are. What do y'all think?
I don't think anybody's going to get what they think they want. I think that things are moving full steam ahead, regardless. The government is never going to be for the people. It can't.
Well,
the government cannot function for the people, because if they did, they would be bankrupt.
Yeah, they're still buying the military equipment. They're still building the bunkers. They're still going on business as usual. Don't matter who gets elected, we're still going into places where we probably shouldn't be, and much more.
There's a new health law going in. Did Barb talk about that today?
I talked about a little bit about that article that you put out there about wanting to get us a health card and stuff like that.
Yeah. Get a new number.
It's
a new database.
It's not just, it's kind of like your driver's license and your Social Security card, which were supposedly two separate entities, including your birth certificate, always been a separate entity, but those all eventually got merged. When you get pulled over by law enforcement, they can now, you know, run your driver record by your Social Security number and, you know, all that kind of stuff, or they can actually use the number on your driver's license. And then talking about, you know, having a national ID card for supposed against the illegal immigration or stuff like that, but it's not for what people think it is. It's piling
right.
all this information in, profiling you and putting you in a category, so that if you ever get out of line, hey, they got all the dirt, right?
Are you a savage or are you a citizen?
Yep.
Only your biometric data.
Bush said you're either with us or against us.
You know, everything that you do and everything about you right now as we talk.
Yep.
Every conversation that we're having is being monitored, and our algorithms are being compiled.
Yep.
I mean, there is no privacy left in our world.
That's why
we should all. I always try and start my show by welcoming to the show. You know, welcome the Canadian Secret Services organizations and the RCMP and levels listening to the show. I try to make sure that they're welcome when we start the shows in the day, because they're always listening to us.
That's why I said when the party starts, I'm not going to be invited. I'm not getting into the bunkers after what I've said. You know.
We're not invited to the party. We're not even on the bottom of the bottom list. Okay,
nope.
We're not even close.
Right.
And I'm glad.
We're out there when old Planet X gets us, or the nuclear disaster, or the big rock from space, or the giant plague, or the zombie apocalypse, all of which could be psychological operations put out there to get us in panic mode. It's like this. A lot of people think that they really want gun control, and to some extent, I think they're right, because you can't have 320 million people armed and then go in there and do dirty things to them without them having a violent uprising. However, there's to some extent has to be something to the fact that every time they want to sell more guns, all they got to do is talk about gun control, and people rush out and buy more guns. Kind of like that guy in that movie, Nicolas Cage was, he was selling guns to both sides of the war. You see what I mean? What was the name of that dog?
Yeah, but the thing is that guns are not the issue. It's the laws that are not being enforced of people who use guns badly.
Yeah, but I don't think they even really want to try to take them at this point in the game. I think they want to try to sell them
right
at this point.
Well, yeah. They're trying their best to get the people up at each other. They want civil wars.
Yeah, arm them up.
And they want people. And it's across the board. In Germany, you know, in the UK, everywhere, they're trying to get the people incited against each other.
Yep.
They're doing a good job. US is on the edge of a cultural war right now, and people don't realize it. One of the
right.
I mean, I have never seen what I'm like what we're seeing right now, but it's all by design, of course. You know, we've got a political correctness separating society in ways that I never thought I'd see in my lifetime.
They're trying to start race wars, civil wars, any type of war they can for it. It's like the Jerry Springer effect, man. Whispering one of them's ear that the other guy says it's this, and the other guy says that, and he's a racist, and she's a homophobe, and on down the line. And now you got the civilization, the civilized, supposedly we the people, after basically killing each other in the streets. What better way to get rid of it? Because then you as the government have plausible deniability, and you can use the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act and all the secret laws passed behind the scenes, including the national ID card and the new health card, to get everything back under control. Alright, enough is enough. We're putting a chip in your hand so we can keep track of all y'all, because you can't behave yourself.
That's right. And if you know, here you got California that opened up their prisons, let all their people out. What does that mean? That means more crime.
Yeah.
That means that there is no petition between the people who want to do wrong to the people who are innocent, right?
Yeah.
They don't have to worry now about persecution for their crimes. What does this do? It causes the people to do one of two things. Either become victims or to fight back. Yeah. Those are your two options. That's the only options you have in this situation. So you're going to have victimization to the max, which we're seeing in California right now, or you're going to have people who are going to fight back. And that's what they keep pushing. They want that so bad. They want the people at each other's throats so badly. They're playing it out on the TVs, in the movies, all of these things. It's like the Joker, this movie. They started promoting this movie in MSN before it ever came out as an incitement. And people bought it. I mean, you have half of the country is galvanized against the violence of the Joker. It's just unheard of. It's off the charts. And you got other people saying this is a replay of movies that were done back in the 70s. And it is. If you go by the storyline, the Joker has been in three or four different movies. Al Pacino and De Niro. Robert De Niro did the same exact movies, only it wasn't about the Joker, but they replayed the same thing about the disgruntled guy who was trying to do everything right, and everybody kept beating up on him, and he finally had enough and started going crazy. It's the same thing being played out over and over and over again, but the way it was marketed by the MSM was purposely done to incite the people. This movie was put out not for entertainment. This movie was put out to get the people in a state of angst against each other, in a state of fear. And this is the way they do it. They instigate months and months and months before they start laying the groundwork. They start scratching at the surface of our tolerance, and then when these things are released, then they go whole hog, and you've got the people galvanized against each other. And they do that in every aspect of society. And this is the way they get us at each other's throats.
They're the masters of psychological warfare. They've been doing it for years and years and years, and they've got it refined to the T. They know exactly what to do to society. They know how society is going to react. And then they know what the solution will be presented, and society will grab it. We've seen them use it over and over and over again. I say right now, we should all be aware of false flag attacks. Because I believe that's something they would use right now to bring society back into control. A major false flag in the United States of America would mean martial law. The same thing could happen in Canada. There's nothing these people won't do right now to further their agenda. It's an open field. There is absolutely nothing out of limits. And in Canada here, we're about to have an election in a couple of weeks. Well, what would stop an election in Canada? One major false flag attack, and the war measures get read, and a state of martial law is implemented across the country. They've got the media on their side. Everything would be in place. The Canadian people would freak. The election would be put on hold. And dictator Trudeau would probably set himself up to the United Nations. They'd bring in UN troops to quell the so-called false flag. And it all play into the scenario. And that's something that's a real possible scenario. And I talk about that with people. And if you think about it, it's a possibility. Because they've used them many, many times before, they work.
That's why I urged people to go sit down and watch that entire series of Jericho, because if you see how that entire thing played out, that, like, show it right in front of your face, what could be actually done. They blame Korea for nuking 3 or 4 major cities, and it turned out to be the same doggone people who did it that rushed into the rescue and ended up taking control after this situation was all done. And then when the teachers who were regular school teachers were checking out the new school books that came in, they recognized right out of the gate, hey, this isn't right. The history's been changed. Who wrote these books? So has that happened to us before? Literally?
Look at the Gulf of Tonkin incident, Shizzles. It was proven to be false. Absolutely, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, it never happened. But it sent America into the Vietnam War. The American military industrial complex made billions and billions of dollars, and 64,000 American men and women lost their lives.
Yep. That's what I keep on talking to everybody about. If you listen to what's being said, it's you that it is the one that goes out there and on the chessboard. You're the pawn. You're the one going to war. You're the one going to work. You're the one paying the taxes. You're the one keep on getting your rights stripped away from you left and right. And when I say left and right, I meant that as an intentional match to the left and the right, because the right wing and the left wing are connected to the same exact bird. And don't matter who's in charge when it comes out the other side, the system's still in there. It might be a little bit different rules set for one side as opposed to the other, but to them, it's like a big money game. Whoever gets control of this this jacked up system that we call freedom, they're the ones that make out like a bandit. They make a lot of money. And, maybe the left one and the right one don't agree on how to essentially screw the people over, but in the end of the game, it doesn't matter how you got screwed, it just matters that you did get it.
Well, the left and the right can't ever agree on the same thing. There's no way to cause disruption that way.
That's right. That's why
you have to have one against the other. Yeah.
That's why they didn't want no libertarian party in there,
Good cop, bad cop scenario,
You can't have somebody in there talking about getting rid of the Federal Reserve, because that's not going to work for the system, What they did to Ron Paul in that deal, I'm surprised that Rand Paul went as far as he did, but what they did to Ron Paul, that was pretty blatant, in your face, that was coming from the supposed right side of the media. They basically kicked him to the curb. you know, and didn't give him, you know, no credit during the debates. They basically did everything they could to make him sound stupid, when in fact, if you actually sit down and listen to Ron Paul talk, you'd be impressed by some of the things that he says. But who would have known? How could you know? You was told on the media who to believe in and who not to. Am I wrong?
Well, it's the same thing with what we've got going on right now. We've got people, Trump is saying all the right words.
Yep.
Because, you know, people have been downtrodden and they've been under the boot for so long, and they needed a hero, and he stepped on the scene at the right time. And he says all the right words. And so the people feel like they have somebody now that has their interest at heart.
Yep.
And he plays the part really well. He really does.
And I'm really super cautious.
At the same, but at the same time that he is on the pulpit telling people what a great country we're making, how things are going so well in the background, behind the scenes, the same push to put the people under the gun, under the boot, are going full speed ahead. This globalization system is going through.
Yep.
Trump and the other countries who are following suit with him, talking about nationalism and all of these things as being the great tool of the people to keep the people free and safe, is just another globalist push. It has nothing to do with sovereign individuality. It has nothing to do with governments maintaining their own sovereignty, so to speak. What it has to do is corporate megaliths being constructed, created on a business plan for the world, for corporations, and the people who think that all of this is going to work for them should be paying attention not to what's being said, not to all the right words and the pretty boxes with the beautiful bows on them that are being delivered to them. They should look in the background and say, all right, we have more jobs. Okay, we have this and we have that. Our economy is booming. We have... we're now being paid attention by the whole world as being a great country, but wait, they're still taking away my rights. My health industry is still taking my health. The educational system is still indoctrinating my children. The child protective services are still moving ahead, taking my rights away to raise my own children. The laws are still being put in place to surveil me to the nth degree. I'm still being forced into a national database, which is going to be a global database. All of these things are still happening, but behind the scenes, there is no free speech because people are still being prosecuted. People are still being fired from their jobs. People are still being beaten up for having a freaking hat on.
Yep.
All of these things are still happening, still being without abatement,
Yep.
And nobody's paying attention to that because somebody got up on a podium and said all the right words.
You know something else? I would really love to one day be able to visit Scotland and Ireland and Canada to go see my friends over there. But you realize how hard it is to go leave the United States and go visit another country? Do you know how expensive, how much red tape that you gotta actually go through in order to be able to cross those borders via an airplane or any transportation? They've made it really, really super hard, really super expensive. So your average Joe, it's only a pipe dream to think about one day standing in a beautiful land like Scotland or Ireland or Canada, you know. You know, I might be able to get to Canada quicker than I could Scotland or Ireland. But it's still, it's a lot, there's a whole lot that goes in involved with that deal. But because of things that I've said on this radio show and my views, there might be a possibility I can't even get on an airplane. And so if it's that hard now, imagine once they get this rest of this other infrastructure in there. I'll never get to go over mushroom hunt with Barry. Won't be able to do it. Can't get in line because I can't get on the plane. You know, maybe I could try to run through the border, but I hear the Canadian Mounted Police are pretty good at what they do, and I probably won't make it. I don't know, man. It's just people, you know, we want to believe we're free. We really do. And, you know, that's what we really want. All of us really want to be free to visit with each other and do things, you know. But this structure that's in place has done everything to basically keep us locked in. We're in a big prison, man. That's it. Canada's its own prison with its own warden. I guess his name's Trudeau at the time. We're in the U.S. in our own prison, and unless the warden gives us a leave, whatever, some, you know, the decision comes down that we're okay to go. No, we're not going. We're staying right here. Heck, I don't even think I could get across the border to Mexico. So, you know.
Well, I could be down there, but it would cost me $250 every 2 years to come down to the United States.
Man.
Because of possession charges and cannabis earlier in my life. And that's still on the American computers, and I inquired about it. But, yeah, I'd have to go through a bunch of red tape to come down there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to come down there, but you know what? If Trudeau gets elected again, I think I'm going to move. Where do you live there, Scissors? Or, huh. Patty, where do you live? Because I think I'd be applying. You'd have to sponsor me to come down, but I think I'd be moving to the States because another 4 years of Trudeau in Canada. You know what would happen if this government gets back in? We got a scenario happening up here in Canada that I'm sure the American government's aware of. And, you know, one day you guys just might invade us if we become that much of a threat to the United States of America. Or maybe it's all part of the plan. I think it's all part of the plan, myself. I see what's going on right now in the States. And you're right, Patty, what you just said about Trump, you're absolutely right.
Hey, I got a plan.
Organize opposition.
A plan, Barry.
Okay.
Secretly pass a note between all the different soldiers that we're going to go along with the plan to invade America. And when you all rush over the border, when you get there, we'll all just drop everything we got and say, hey, party's on. Woo-hoo.
Absolutely.
And leave the elitists dumbfounded. What just happened? Oh, well, U.S. and Canada, they're having a big bash right now because they were going to invade us, but it was all scammed by the people before they even got here that they weren't going to go and fight. They were going to go and party.
Just going to have a big barbecue.
Yeah. That'd be a blast, well, man.
I'm terrified for my country right now, guys.
Well, I don't understand it. I can understand.
Well, there is no safe haven for the people in governments.
Nope. There is no safe haven anywhere for us now, Patty. We're in a grid. And when that time comes and all hell breaks loose, there isn't going to be a safe place to be, period.
Well, that's why I say to everybody all the time, we need to somehow or another create our own secondary internet, some sort of communication deal between, you know, the people that are talking right here, right now, the people in chat rooms and listening in, you know, could put our some sort of communications, because I got this thing in my mind that if this internet ever goes down, the one that comes back up is not going to be the one that you want. It's not going to definitely have the truth. It's going to be, you know, you are no longer, you know, able to have any kind of anonymity, whatever that word is, anonymous. You're going to be like, they're going to know exactly who you are, exactly which numbered computer you're on, exactly where you're at, and so if you say anything even remotely out of line, they shut you off. We can't have conversations with each other and talk about the truth. We're in trouble. We need this tool that we got.
If I went on Facebook and posted death threats against the Prime Minister today, I'd be in jail by the end of the day.
Yep. That's how it goes. I mean, we're already seeing censorship. We're seeing that. We're seeing manipulation of information. And at least to this point so far, we still have some sense of being able to, you know, to fight back with information, but, you know, it's getting harder and harder to do so. When they start suppressing the voices of the people, and this is probably the best tool that they inadvertently gave us, which they probably regret at this point in the game. They probably regret ever giving us the internet, even though the internet has been an awesome tool to them. That door swings both ways, and we're able to communicate with each other and talk about things at this point in the game that they don't necessarily like us talking about. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the issues that we do. You know, you got a secured certificate on your site in order for you to be deemed worthy of other people coming to your site. Places like China can literally block out whoever they want. Nobody, no websites that's unapproved get to go in there. Imagine that being a worldwide system to where you can't go to certain sites anymore. You know, you put a website together, it's expensive at some point. You know, you do this, you pay for it monthly or bi-yearly or whatever, and it's expensive and it's time consuming to do what I do here at Shaziz Radio, to maintain this site and check all the messages and to pay the bills and to run. I got two separate DSL lines for two separate systems, and my new lab will be coming online here pretty soon, which I'm really excited about because I want to be able to share some things with people and, you know, give some really good quality information and content out. But to keep this thing going the way that I do it, it's time consuming and constantly, you know, trying to keep, you know, things going, you know, keep Sam running and all the different chat rooms and being able to connect with other networks, wonderful ones like People for People and such. You know, we do so much for each other. It's not just a one-man job. It's people that show up in the chat room throwing in links and information and conversations that go on in there. It's the host and the guest from both different networks and all the things that we do combined that make this whole entire thing worth all the effort and worth all the money put into it. Now, I'm not sitting out here asking people to send me money to help keep this thing going. I'm doing all right. I'm maintaining what's going on. Only thing I'm asking from people, if you hear these shows and you like the content and you think somebody else needs to hear these messages from Barry or Patty and Barbara and all the other hosts out here, man, take the time to pass that link. Tell people, you know, get them excited about coming and visiting. Tell them what Google's doing to us is about, you know, trying to keep people from coming here. Some people actually got to go in their browser and hit a setting that says that they trust this website before the dang browser even let them in. You remember how much trouble you had, Patty, trying to get on the sites?
Yeah.
That's
well,
a common thing.
Well, you know why I have so much trouble? Because I have quite a few apps that are supposed to prevent my online activities from being tracked. I have an anti-tracker, I have a VPN, I have a pop-up blocker, I have an ad blocker. I have all of these things. If I try to come on to People for People or go to your website and I have any of these things on, it will not allow me to access your website or your apps that you have, your player for your radio, even here on PFP.
Well, isn't that crazy that those things actually deem our sites to not be safe?
Yeah, well, this is the real thing, is that how did they know who I am? How do they know that my VPN is not who I am, you know, unless they have the ability to see past those things?
Yeah.
This is the fallacy that we're living under, is that we can disguise ourselves, that we can actually hide ourselves. This system, this internet, we didn't build this, the CIA did.
Yep.
You know? It's their back doors.
And it wasn't built with our security involved.
No.
That's for sure. And all them updates that Microsoft did, a lot of people think that those are to try to keep malware and hackers out. No, Microsoft realized that they had loopholes that could be used against them that they went and patched up, plus being able to put back doors in and their own versions of spyware and that kind of stuff like that. Had nothing to do with virus protection or keeping intruders out of your information, because it's blatantly obvious. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all the different Google networks deals, they're all spying on you. Every last one of them.
Yeah. Well, now if I go to a website or something other than People for People or your website, if I go and they won't allow me on or to listen to video, I don't go. I just, okay, I don't want to be there, you know.
Yep.
And that's self-censorship. They're censoring me. I could get around it by allowing them to see who I am and where I'm at and da-da-da-da-da. But I have to give them access to my browsing. I have to give them access to my social media, so to speak. So I have to acquiesce to them if I want to go to these other websites. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I got my, right now, this is ridiculous. I have got my Opera on, my Opera browser, because that's what I do PFP through. And my camera, I have a camera thing that comes with Opera, and it's telling me right now to access that camera. You know, why would I want to do that? You know,
yeah.
But this is what I'm saying. I have these VPNs and everything. Yesterday, I got online, and I was looking for a hot water heater, because I think ours is getting ready to go out. And I put in there hot water heater in the search, just hot water heaters. And it came up, I put in Lowe's hot water heater is what I did. And when the search came up, it gave me the Lowe's locations nearest me.
Huh.
Yeah. Yep. How does that happen? She says, when my VPN says I'm in a totally different state.
Yep, that's it. That's the whole doggone thing, man. It's the information war. I was forced to go through Facebook and Google, either or both, to go onto a website that had absolutely nothing to do with them. It was where I actually have two of my three websites hosted on. Through Weebly, and so Google and Facebook had absolutely nothing to do with it, but I was forced to actually sign in to Weebly using those accounts. And so far they haven't got GoDaddy, which is where Shaziz.com is, but it's only a matter of time. But why would they care? Literally, why would they care about Shaziz Radio? Why would they care about Shaziz.net or Shaziz.com?
Right.
And why would they go through that much trouble in order to make me go through Facebook and Google in order to be able to log into to an account that I pay for from a private company? And why would that private company even allow that to be happening? Unless they're bought out. That's the thing.
Well, and they have no control, really, because if they want to provide revenue for themselves, if they're in it for a business, if they want money, then they have to subscribe to these search engines. They have to be able to sell or provide customer information to the algorithms that get sold to other, you know. You are just for profit. You are there to provide profit. That's all you are. Your independence, your security, your identity, they don't belong to you anymore. Shaziz.
Don't have no freedom.
Right. Right. And none of us, you know, if we're online, if we have an ISP, which you have to have, you know, to get online, unless you go to a cafe or something. But if you have an ISP, then they know who you are. Oh, they know where you are. They know how to get into your system. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Not
except for,
that,
I can say
how
this.
To get into your head.
I can say this, is that I use what is called a Brave browser, the Brave browser.
Yeah.
For things when I want to go do in my research. I go to that browser because I have not had one single issue yet with being tracked on that browser. That's the only one. Even the Tor browser I get tracked on.
Yep.
But this one here, this Brave browser, when I want to go in depth and things like that, when I want to find information out there that I can't find on other browsers, I can find it on the Brave browser. It is an excellent, excellent browser for anybody who's interested. But anyway, I know we're getting to the top of the hour, and this is something that we discussed a little bit earlier, but Gaz has put this comment into the chat, so I want to read that out if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
He says, the movement of people from one country to another is futile. The globalist agenda is coming to wherever you are. Passive non-compliance is the only way forward, in his opinion. It's the same biscuit tin. And I agree with him. The only power that we have is to turn our backs on these systems.
Yep.
That we can't remain part of them and expect them to change. We're the ones that are going to have to change.
That's it. We're begging them, please, sir, don't beat us no more. Please, sir, don't poison us. You know.
Yes, please, sir. May I have some more meat?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. And I'm tired. I'm tired. You're tired. We're all tired. We're trying to figure out a way to put information out that other people can hear and hopefully resonate enough that they can actually wake up to the reality of the world they live in. I mean, how would you know what the truth was? That was the big question. How would you know? Literally. And so we have to go by what we can share with each other, what we can prove to each other, or whatever. Any kind of valid information or information that we think is beneficial. Barry talks about basically health things that nature has already provided. You don't hear none of that on the doggone news. Now, you are starting to see, Barry, you are starting to see hemp products actually make it to the market. I seen them at the chiropractor office, and I'm starting to see, you know, like hemp oils and stuff like that out there. And so something's changing to that extent. But,
she says, did you read what Gaz just put in the chat?
No. There's a free ad between your show and the next one? Oh, so we could go over just a hair. Wouldn't hurt nothing if you want. Yeah. Spend another 15, 20 minutes or something.
I'm good to go. What about you, Barry?
I agree.
Well, let's do it.
I just revved up here. I'm just drinking my second coffee. It hasn't even kicked in yet.
Let's stick around for a minute, because this is a pretty important subject, you know. And, you know, there's so much that I want to say. And I know, like Barry, Patty, you both, even Barbara, if she's still around here, we got so much running through our minds. So much that we're trying to share with the world that, you know, it you just can't squeeze it all in the time frame that we try. 3 hours sounds like a long time, but for what we're talking about, what we're pointing out, if the doggone governments of the world have the power to hide an entire city from a state, you know, it's not even on the map. It's known now. But at the time, nobody knew that place existed, and there were 75,000 people living and working there. How do you do that? How do you hide, you know, the big structures underneath the ground? and even historical facts of buildings and stuff underground that, you know, you never even known about. They didn't teach about it in school, but they it's been common knowledge for a long time amongst the people who did know. They didn't tell you about it. What was going on?
Well, they told you how they do this. They showed you in what's the movie, the John Galt movie, Atlas Shrugged. In the books, they told you how that happens. They man these cities. These cities that are underground are so massive and so extensive that they dwarf the cities that we have above ground are dwarfed by the size and the scope of these massive places underneath. These have been here for ages. We think that these are new, these domes and things, and some of them might be, but this is an extensive, they have tunneling systems with high speed trains, these magnetic trains or whatever. These things are so extensive, and when people disappear, you know, how many people disappear in the United States? We have physicists that disappear, we have doctors, we have plumbers, we have from all walks of life and everything. A lot of them, they sign up for this, and they are in these cities below. And these cities, they mimic everything that you have above ground is below ground, only the technology is much greater. And it's been going on for a long time, Shaziz. And it's not just here in the United States. It is everywhere. Every country, except for maybe some of the, like the southern Africa and things like that, might be doing things like this. But most of the big countries, you know, the movers and the shakers have these systems underneath and have been running them for years. There's two separate. There's the government above ground that we see, that is the thing for the people, and then there's the real government below. It's two separate worlds almost. The more you go looking into this stuff, the more out of this world it seems that this could be possible.
Yeah.
And all of these booms right. that people are hearing and things like this, all of these corporations that say, oh, so we're here on this land, and they put these big fences around them and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres, you know, thousands of acres sometimes, and they buy up these places and stuff. They tunnel.
They have,
you know,
shopping centers underneath Cheyenne Mountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very complex with its own little personal store, own little personal power company, everything.
Have these truckers, the semis, they had these guys go in there with these cameras. Did you ever see those?
Yeah.
Where these semi trucks go into these mountains and they just open up these massive, gigantic structures and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they go on for miles.
Amazing.
So the question is,
amazing.
How big at this point? Because we know at the very least it's been going on for 40 years. That's the very least. But I'm thinking probably a heck of a lot longer than that. But nonetheless, how big does this doggone underground network actually extend? It could be completely from state to state, continent to continent by now. The machinery that they got a tunnel boring machine that they're saying they're using underneath Washington, D.C., to make new sewer drains or something like that. Who needs a sewer drain that is probably 20 or 30 feet in diameter or bigger that goes for miles?
You guys want somebody to join for an hour today? For the last hour?
Sure, make sure you give them the speech.
Let me just say to him right now, no F-bomb.
I just want to let everybody know that Barb had to leave early, and that's why you haven't heard from her in the last, say, hour. We forgot to let everybody know that she had to leave early.
Well, this is a mind-blowing conversation because it takes us down every single rabbit hole, not excluding alien or future or past civilizations that existed, or even the fact that it is a possibility that the actual Greek mythology, there was a lot of truth to, you know, the Titans and stuff like that. How would you know? Literally. How would you know? Because the way that history is written, they say history is written by the victor, you know, so you could tell your side of the story. You know, how would you know the truth of the actual Civil War? You know, who was right and who was wrong in that thing? How would you know? You wouldn't. And I can't tell you whether the earth is flat, round, dodecahedron, or hollow, or anything like that, because I ain't never been far enough away that I can honestly say with, you know, intellectual honesty and my observation, everything, that, hey, I was there, I saw it. Yeah, it's just like they said it was, you know? I never had that opportunity, so right now I'm at the mercy of whatever information comes my way. There could have been previous civilizations that we don't know about. Maybe they got so advanced they wiped each other out. Maybe there's something that they know that we don't know, that they've been doing this to us for years, you know, for whatever reason. How you doing? Welcome to the show. You're live on air.
How you doing, Duke? Can you hear us, Duke?
I can see his icon lighting up. But
yeah, so can I. Good, Patty. No, Patty's still here.
What's going on here?
Ah. Yeah, you're having problems with that thing. You've been having problems for a few days now. Oh, we're hearing you. Can you hear us?
There we go.
Yay.
For some reason, Skype chose the wrong set of speakers on my system. Speakers that haven't existed for over a year.
Well, welcome to the Knights of the Round Table, my friend.
Thank you very much. My name's Duke, for those who missed it.
Well,
we're having a conversation, Duke, and I thought invite you in for an hour here and get your thoughts on some of the things we're talking about. We're kind of going everywhere here today, but what's been the main conversation, would you say, here this morning, Shaziz?
Well, the big question was, how would you know? How would you know the truth in just about anything? You know, with all the secrecy and all the different, shenanigans being played on the people in just about every nation out there, how would you know? You know, with the mainstream media, propaganda, the military-industrial complex, you know, all the different types of things that you, the rabbit holes that you can go down in the conspiracy world, and, you know, all the different possibilities, the way they're constantly pitting us and labeling us against each other. How would you know what the real doggone truth of anything is? And how do you get that type of information out to the public to where they understand that they're being played like a banjo? Literally, we're like pawns, you know. We sit here and talk about, I just said earlier, I feel like I'm in prison because I'm in the United States. I can't even go to Canada without going through all kinds of red tape or whatever. I couldn't go to Scotland or Ireland. You know, it's going to cost me a lot of money. I got to go through all the system. I got to get a passport and everything else to try to go visit anywhere. So, literally, I'm stuck here, you know. And pretty much the same, if it wasn't for this technology that we've got where we can have these conversations at this point in the game, even with all the hassles and the spying and the doggone censorship, we still, to a small extent, have the capability to communicate our ideas and thoughts with each other. So, you know, I think we're still in the fight, so to speak. Does that make any sense?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense to me. I know we're still in the fight. As for your question about how can we tell truth from lies, the same way we've been doing it since the Creator put us on this planet. We follow our heart. Yeah. Not our mind, not our desires, our heart.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And I just, you know, I know I hear people all the time saying, well, you know, this is so overwhelming that we'd never be able to fix it. We're over the edge. But I don't believe that. I believe that if there ever come a day when when these people of this world finally realize what's going on and actually decide to come together and do something about it. I don't talk about a violent revolution. I'm talking about basically starting to build your own community beside, you know, the system, and eventually the system itself becomes irrelevant. You don't need that anymore. But they're expecting certain actions from us by whatever it is that they do to us. They expect us to act in a certain manner. And for the most part, to this time, they've been right. They can get us to fight. There is a deal about destabilizing nations. There's a wealthy man out there y'all know about. He's out there. He pays people to go in and agitate and get people fighting. You know, the whole Jerry Springer effect. We gotta not play into that game. We gotta not fall for those shenanigans, because when we do, we're too busy fighting each other to pay attention to what the heck is going on.
When we fall for those distractions, we are doing exactly what, quote unquote, they want us to do.
Yep.
We have to understand that evil has been working since the beginning of time to undermine everything that good has created.
Yep.
That is the essence, the bottom line. If you went to your accountant at the end of the year and said, I don't care about all the numbers in between, I just want to know the bottom line I gotta pay in taxes this year. The bottom line in what we're looking at is a struggle between good and evil.
I agree.
That's it. That's the baseline. Mathematicians would take you to the lowest common denominator, and that's the two of them.
Absolutely. There's no argument there at all. We talk about that in depth, how evil has perpetrated all levels of society on this show all the time. And you're absolutely correct that we're in a monumental struggle right now. And the people that we're fighting against, they don't have a heart. They don't have a soul. They're psychopaths from hell, is where I call them from. And I don't like to use that term, but I don't know how else to describe them. And we're in for the fight of our life right now. There is nothing that isn't on the board right now that they're not willing to use against society to perpetrate their agenda. Mm. And we see that acting up all over the world right now, man. We see unbelievable stuff going on around the planet, and it is just continually increasing.
Yeah,
so we're going to get to the breaking point here. I honestly believe that.
Christopher,
where it's going to move, not exactly sure, but we're going to get to a breaking point.
Christopher in the Skype chat said that there's always truth in the lie, and that's, I agree with him, because you could take two people telling you a bold-faced lie, but each one of them have to tell you at least a little bit of nugget of truth in order to make that lie sound plausible. And so by using your discernment and stepping back and looking at the big picture, you can figure out the truth if you're really looking for it. And so, you know, with that said, it's all about keeping your eyes and ears open and being open to the possibility that maybe, just maybe, you were lied to about a few things.
The other thing that we freedom lovers, if that's the word you want to use to describe us, the other thing we need to understand and never forget, the Creator cursed Satan. He told him, you can do whatever you want, but you must tell your victims what you are going to do to them. And whether you look at the criminal governments all around this world who are proclaiming and enacting support for others than their own people, or you look at things like the Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah. The
no matter where you turn, evil is holding to the condition that the Creator put on it, and telling you what it's going to do if you simply wake up and listen.
Yeah. And that's why I say, you know, when you're watching these movies, like I keep mentioning the doggone Jericho movie, the Jericho series, blows your doors off the parallels, because in that movie, it was North Korea that nuked the three cities or four cities in the deal. And who were they demonizing on the media in reality? North Korea. North Korea's launching rockets. North Korea's launching rockets, you know. And then when it come down to Russia, Russia was supposedly the bad guys, and yet the Secretary of State and her cohorts was involved with selling uranium to the Russians. So what?
You can extrapolate on that whole Uranium One situation, and you can start including part of the Five Eyes countries, i.e. the ones under the British Commonwealth control of the evil Queen in England. They helped, namely Australia and Canada, helped move the money and gold, I know it was cash, I don't know for sure about gold, into U.S. hands. See? So Hillary moved the money out, Mr. Harper put all the key players in place using the Bank of Inverlat in Mexico, a wholly owned subsidiary of, I want to say CIBC, but it might be RBC, Royal Bank of Canada. And through the Bank of Inverlat, that's where the paperwork was sent out to process the transactions and movement of pallets of cash into Canada. And when Trudeau came into office, there was even a big Barry. You remember when Trudeau made a, what was it, $470 million donation to the Clinton Foundation? Well, guess where that money came from? It's what Harper brought in from the Uranium One deal.
Yeah, I got to read this comment. This is pretty funny. So I guess Albert Einstein initially said it. Neutrons, protons, electrons in the chat room said the only thing that interferes with my learning is my education. Albert Einstein. Oh, man.
Isn't that true? So everything I've learned has been by the world, man.
Yeah. Man, I'll tell you what, like I said before, you know, you could take one of these events and maybe pass it off as a coincidence and, you know, conspiracy theory, but you take every single one of these and put them on the table and step back, you start seeing the real picture. It's crazy.
You could take screenshots of all the different things that have happened just in the house.
We lost
on one of those old spinning amp shades with a light bulb inside that projects the picture out onto the wall. You could give it a spin, go through the last 50 years of our own lifetime and count. You wouldn't have enough fingers and toes to count the national, what we would now today call cabal, influence and activity in the free world.
Yep, you're right.
It'd be an hour-long documentary.
That's the thing. And so, you know, I keep playing this little clip from A Bug's Life when the grasshopper tells the other grasshoppers that you let one of them ants stand up against us and they all might stand up. And those ants outnumber us 100-1. And when that happens, our way of life changes. And that is what I think they fear the most.
Welcome to our world, grasshopper.
Yep. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, grasshopper.
We're a lot smarter than we're given credit for, but at the same sense, we're pretty gullible and intentionally dumbed down and medicated, even self-medicated. We went through the whole gamut today. There are so many different people on so many different drugs that, you know, Ritalin, Prozac, Luvox, and the chemistry in the water, chlorine, fluoride, lead, whatever's in the chemtrails.
How many millions of people just in North America, USA and Canada, how many millions of people drink government-controlled water sources every day all their life?
Lot.
Well, what's the population?
No idea what they're putting in their bodies.
Yep. That's
I'm
it.
Not going to take a Tylenol for my headache. Who knows what they put in those things? Huh. Get me a glass of water from the tap.
Yeah. Well, at any given time, they could actually put things in that water to literally, you know, do harm, even death, if you really want to think about it. And look, I'm not saying all this stuff to try to get people paranoid. I'm not some sort of fear monger. But you got to have a little bit of wisdom, because, you know, if you ain't got a little bit of wisdom, if you don't know you're even being played, you're going to keep playing the same game. You're going to keep on supporting them. These people that get out there and they protest, they think that they're doing something. They're not doing nothing. They're actually getting out there helping the system, because when they throw you in jail, they get paid. The for-profit prisons, they get paid. Everybody's getting paid except for you. Of course, now I think when you go to jail for a long period of time, they actually give you a little tiny bit of money. I wonder if that's part of the secret, dirty little secret. They have to actually pay you if they take you to jail.
I don't know. Can pay them back for restitution.
No, they work here every day. It's slave labor, man.
Well, that too.
Unless you're in California, then you can break the law and get out of prison.
Oh, man. But either way, I'm not trying to scare everybody. I just want people to start being wise and understand that if you listen to one side of the media, you should listen to all sides of the media and step back and take those two liars and make your own informed decision by whatever research you can get your hands on. And when you find some information that you feel is credible, here's the place to to exchange it, to show people. Go to People for People. They want you to help each other with information. That's what this is all about. Shaziz Radio, the chat room's in there. There's a reason I got four chat rooms in there and links to other places, because I want you to be able to talk to each other. I want you to be able to share, you know, alternative medicines, alternative fuels, alternatives to the everything. Don't matter what it is. Because we got...
You know, here's the thing. Here's the thing, too, Shaziz, is that while we're talking about all of this stuff, we have a system right now, global system, that is pushing towards the abolishment of CO2. In other words, they're looking to take away the ability of life to thrive.
Yep.
They say that our energy consumption on petrol oils is the culprit, big culprit, and that we need to change. So they create two systems that they allow to be implemented without any problems, and that would be solar and wind technologies, which are proven to be, although good, highly inefficient to do the task at hand. Yet we have so many other forms of free energy,
yep,
of zero point energy that have been developed, that have been, and these are done not in the labs of the universities, but in the garages of the people at home who have taken it upon themselves, like you, to educate themselves and to
produce. You just explained why those ideas are quashed.
Yes,
people
exactly
are not allowed to be self-sufficient.
That's it.
You cannot free yourself from the system. You cannot. That's not allowed.
Well, if enough people said, we're not going to listen to you, and civil disobedience was the order of the day, and the masses embraced this, what are they going to do? Put us all in jail?
They'll put us all in graves.
Well, it's going to get to that point, dude, because...
Yeah, which way do you want to stand for a better way and make a stand, or do you want to die slowly and not make a stand?
Well, I want to die standing up with my boots on, man, because I ain't going down without a fight. So, folks, look, I really wish we could stay a lot longer, but this file is going to get pretty gosh darn big, and I want to upload it to the Auto DJ, because I think today's show was really awesome. I mean, I like to put the best shows up on the Auto DJ so that when we're not here live, that you can still hear what was going on, or you also have the option to go over to the podcast page, which there's tons and tons of information just like this. And so, And so with that said, you know, it's about time to go around the table, because I want everybody to have their last say. And that's what we do here at tonight's the round table. We want everybody to have their last words of wisdom to give people, you know, hope and ideas and, you know, things. And who knows? I think I said this before. I think I said it last week that we probably need to do a part two of this show. We got to do a part two of a lot of shows, Patty. I mean, it's mind-blowing, but... everything that we've talked about today, you can get out there and research. It's not conspiracy theory. You get out there, take a look around. And even if, for some example, that all these different things that you hear about were put out there as information, you got to question who put it out there and why. Was it to keep us constantly, distracted? Was it to keep us constantly pitted against each other? I have a guy, a friend of mine, that actually argues with me till we're blue in the face about Planet X. I don't know if Planet X is out there. Maybe it is, maybe it ain't. But if somebody put it out there, I can tell you personally that it affects his life in a real-time fashion by the choices he makes and how angry he gets. And if you bring up the Bible to anybody, man, today that's almost like taboo. I mean, there were people who will curse you up and down the storm and tell you that you're wrong, you're stupid, man wrote this. And I'm saying that if there's any one book in this world that's questionable because it was written by man, then all books written by man are questionable. That's where the true balance comes in.
Yes.
So with that said,
let's start with Duke, because we invited him here late. Duke, next week maybe you should get in a little earlier, because I have found this to be one of the best shows that I get involved in on a weekly basis, buddy. So maybe next week we can get in a little earlier and get some of your thoughts. But yeah, why don't you share a few thoughts with us, and then we'll let Patty go. Thanks for coming in.
I want to thank you for inviting me, Shazaz, for letting me in. This is what I think the third time or fourth time I've been on your show, sir.
It's been awesome every
time. Thank you very much. I look forward to every chance I get to come on here. In closing, I want to remind people that, yeah, I do have my own broadcasts on YouTube and Facebook. My name is Duke Willis, like Duke the Dog or John Wayne. Duke and Willis, like what you talking about, Willis? You can find me real easy on YouTube and Facebook. In closing, we talked earlier about how evil has to proclaim and declare its intentions. They do it all the time. We see it everywhere. I'm going to leave this show with a question and maybe perhaps a mission for those who wish to take it on. If you haven't already, go watch, or better yet, read, The Hunger Games. In The Hunger Games, the main character, Kat, talks about how the elite pitted this group against that group and brought on global war until there was not enough left to kill each other. Then, having divided them, they took control of the smaller groups and created the environment of the Hunger Games society.
Wow.
1984 Orwell.
Yep.
In a movie called The Hunger Games. Think about where we're going when you hear terms like sustainable population. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope your brain is working.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks
for coming, too.
Awesome. So, who wants to go next?
Ladies before gentlemen.
Well, I want to say thank you to Duke, too. And Duke, I posted your YouTube channel link into the PFP chat. The people for people.ning.com. You should come over and join. There's a lot of good people, good information in here. I think you'd find yourself right at home with this family. But I think this has been another excellent show, and I agree with you 100%, Duke, that this is one of the best shows that I am part of, and I'm very honored to be a part of it. Every Sunday I look forward to it. And I think the most important thing that we should take away from this is we have to educate ourselves. We have to forget what we've been taught. Forget what we've been indoctrinated into. Forget about this perceived government loving its people thing that we've been sold, this bill of goods. And it doesn't matter how many constitutions you have with pretty words on them, it's all going to lead back to the same thing. They're moving towards a single agenda. They're doing so culturally, religiously, governmentally, and even with the health laws. Everything is moving towards this globalist agenda. That's what you need to know, that there is no good guy in government. The only good guys out there would be you and me and the people that work for each other for the benefit of all. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to put our energies at. We don't need to be told what we can have and what we can't have. We can create. Look what we've created. We've created everything out there that's destroying things. We can create things that actually benefit life, all life. That's what we can do.
Yep.
They will never do that. They will never allow us to do that. Only we can do that. And so I guess that's where I would like to see us all begin, is in realizing that we don't need them to do the right thing. We don't need anyone to make laws to tell us we can have or we can't have, we can do or we can't do. We can do that in a beneficial way, just by coming together and putting our energies towards our benefit.
Yep.
Instead of the states or the governments or whatever. Just saying.
I could not have said it any better. That's why I love you folks so much. It's brilliant. What about you, Barry? You got any words of wisdom?
Well, I got a million, but not enough time to speak them all, that's for sure.
Oh, what you saying out there, brother?
Every time I get into this show every Sunday, it really gets my spirits up. I feel an energy in this room that's very real. And I know the people that are involved in this show, our hearts are broken. We see everything going on this planet, and it can all be turned around. But it's going to take an effort from everybody. It's going to take everybody standing in front of the mirror and really asking them what's important in their life. And to me right now, stopping this madness that's going on, I see what's coming for society, and I don't want that for my children and my grandchildren. And right now, I will use everything at my disposal to try and educate people and get the sheeple awake and get people to a point where they actually get involved. And that's what it's going to take right now to stop this madness. So that's really all I got to say, guys. Always fun being in here. And I'll just message him there, and said next week he'll get in a little earlier, and he enjoyed talking with you guys. So it's nice to get somebody else coming in with different opinions. Thanks for having me in, guys. Always a pleasure.
Cool, and thanks to everybody who stayed in there with us when we run over there. That was awesome of them giving us some extra time on there, because we got a lot to say. But you know, I really hate this part of the show when I got to end it, because I think that we could probably sit around for a month solid and just talk about things and try to sort things out. I honestly think there's that many solutions available, and the only way that this is ever going to work is if people share this information with people. You are the true power. You're more amazing than you could possibly imagine. As far as I'm concerned, our Creator created absolutely no trash, only treasure. And when you realize that you are important and you're not insignificant like the system wants you to believe you are, then that's when our true light can actually shine. That's when our true power comes to light. You know, Jesus talked about the spoken word. He said, you know, if you have a faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to that mountain and tell it to move. I believe that. Honestly believe that. As harsh as everything may sound out there, I don't think we're licked yet. I don't think, no, if as long as we still got a voice, I don't think we're licked yet. You know, maybe some things are coming down the road, and more than likely are, but I think that if we don't act the way that they expect us to act when the time comes, you're going to see a whole different outcome when we get to the other side. So that's what I'm hoping for. That's why I keep doing what it is I do here at the Knights of the Round Table. Thank you for everybody listening, and thank you for everybody on today's show. It was just spectacular. Love y'all. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Knights of the Round Table. For heaven's sake, please share this podcast. Share the links. Share all the information. We talked about some crazy stuff. We got to do that, because how can you know? How would you know? That's what the question was. How would you know? The truth or the lie? You know, it's all out there. We'll figure it out. But we're going to do it when we come together. That's it. Take care of this man.
Stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh, one ant. Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines and all the scenes and footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone. Gable.
have to push the pram along.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Survive the Turbo! All rise for King Survive the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!